The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's do this.
And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, July 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two people, including a 95-year-old great-grandfather, were injured after someone opened fire into a West Philadelphia home. It happened at 3:15 in the morning along 53rd and Rodman Streets. Police say the 95-year-old and a 32-year-old man were struck when someone on the street fired five shots through the front living room window. Three other people, including a 2-year-old child who was upstairs asleep, were inside the home at the time. They were not hurt. First responders found the 32-year-old man at the top of the steps on the second floor, suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest. He was taken to Penn Presbyterian in critical condition. The 95-year-old man was found lying on the living room couch. He was hit in the arm and was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Police believe someone was standing outside and intentionally fired in, though investigators don't know yet who was the intended target. There are surveillance cameras in the area. Police are hoping that that will help them in the investigation.
What the hell could that be about?
Crazy. A woman has been charged in the murders of her mother and grandmother at the Jersey Shore. The women's bodies were found in a condo in Ventnor on Sunday morning. The Atlanta County Prosecutor's Office said Wednesday that 41-year-old Heather Barbera of Ventnor is charged with two counts of first-degree murder, third-degree possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, which is a nightstick, and first-degree robbery. Prosecutors say the defendant's mother, 67-year-old Michelle Gordon, and her grandmother, 87-year-old Elaine Rosen, were found dead Sunday morning of multiple blunt impact injuries at the Vassar Square condominiums. Prosecutors said Barbera took a bus to New York City after the homicides and was arrested Wednesday afternoon in Manhattan. She is awaiting extradition back to New Jersey. The founder of Papa John's Pizza resigned as chairman of his company. This comes after he admitted to using a racial slur during a conference call in May. John Schratner admitted to saying the N-word during a media training exercise. He was on a call with a marketing company that was oddly working with him to help improve his public image. He apologized last night, saying racism has no place in our society. Schratner stepped down as CEO last year after blaming slowing sales growth on the outcry surrounding football players kneeling during the national anthem. He remained chairman of the company he started when he turned a broom closet at his father's bar into a pizza shop.
You have to wonder how that word would come up when you're talking about pizza.
Seriously, I don't know.
You know, as part of a marketing campaign for pizza, but there you go.
Papa John's shares fell nearly 5% Wednesday after the report. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
That sounded good, guys. Brandon Nimmo hit a pinch-hit three-run home run in the bottom of the 10th inning to lead the New York Mets to a 3-0 win over the Phillies last night in Queens. It was New York's third game-ending homer in the last 6 days and second in the series. Jose Bautista beat Tampa Bay with a grand slam last week, and Wilmer Flores hit one on Monday in the series opener against the Phils. They're in Baltimore tonight. Nick Pivetta gets to start the game, which was rescheduled from a postponement in May, starts earlier than normal at 6:05. Croatia is headed to its first World Cup final after a 2-1 extra time victory over England. Croatia, whose win came in extra time again, will play France on Sunday in the World Cup final in Moscow. Meanwhile, England, who led 1-0 at the half, will head to St. Petersburg for a rematch with Belgium in the third place game. And in local soccer, David Ackham scored in the 95th minute, and Corey Burke had two goals to help the Union beat the Fire 4-3 last night. Ackham dribbled through a pair of Chicago defenders and scored on a right-footed shot just inside the left post for his first goal of the season. The Union are in seventh place in the Eastern Conference, just behind the Montreal Impact. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks a bunch, Kathy. And Thursday, as the week is flying by, and that's always a wonderful thing. In fact, we're 1 week away from our Belly Flop Championship, you know, with all this World Cup stuff going on. I mean, the real competition.
The focus of the world.
Going to be taking place next Thursday.
Absolutely.
At the Valley Beach poolside at the Valley Forge Casino Resort. And we want you to be there for it. It's free of charge, by the way. We have our contestants. We actually have looked at our, we have them pinned up on the walls here of our studio so we can take a good look at all the people that are going to be on board. And
it's a rogues gallery, wouldn't you say?
Make sure that we contact everybody and have confirmations. But, yeah, it's definitely a rogues gallery, Steve. A lot of great themes. So we'll see how this plays out. And so will you if you are joining us live for that. 1 week from today, 6 to 8 p.m., we'll be on board. So hopefully we'll have good weather and it'll be cool, man. We are still looking for Philly's hottest swimsuit. So please send in your submissions. You can get all the details for both of those events and pretty much everything we have going on at PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com, including our Miller Lite London Calling Green Legion Preston and Steve trip to England, which is going to be taking place in October.
I think London's going to need us now, despite the, you know.
Yeah, they're not going to be, they're not going to the finals, yeah. So maybe they could use a little healing.
They could use a little us.
Yeah, so yeah. In October we'll be there, and maybe you will be too, so get the details soon. We will have on the program today a gentleman named Ron Funchess, who's going to be performing at Punchline tonight and Friday and Saturday. So he's stopping by today. And our friends at Dunkin' Donuts are coming in. They have something special going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to let us know. And I'll give you the heads up on that when everybody gets here. And we will have some giveaways in conjunction with that. So get yourself set for all that stuff. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back in a second. I've compiled some entertainment stories to pass along to you, as well as some things to give away with a stupid question. We'll get to all that when we return. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
All right, so the stupid question this morning, 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, which is the 20th and 21st of this month. I have this question. You know the code that you scan for products?
Yes.
The UPC code. What does UPC stand for? 215-263-WMMR. What does that stand for? UPC 215-263-WMMR.
I saw the house of the guy that invented that code in Lake Tahoe last week, and on the north shore of Lake Tahoe, estimated to be worth nearly $70
million. $70
million. For a home and the property surrounding it.
By the way, did you see the Godfather 2 house?
I did not make it there, no. But Pierre is a wonderful host and took us around on a boat, and we just didn't make it to that part of Tahoe.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but this UPC house is pretty impressive.
$70
million. You know, I'd always said that I wanted to have been the inventor of some ubiquitous thing that you never really think about, like the disposable ketchup packet.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I would like to have been the guy who invented that. You know, sir, you wouldn't be famous for any particular reason.
You'd be wealthy.
You'd have a $70 million home.
Yeah.
And why'd you do that? I invented this little ketchup package.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I invented the UPC code. You'd say that over the ketchup. You'd lie.
Right. Exactly.
I invented Post-its.
Yeah. All right. So let's see if you know the answer. Call now. I'm going to go through some birthdays on Thursday, July 12th, while we're awaiting your answer. It's Topher Grace's birthday today. And a big one for him. He celebrates his 40th birthday.
He's consistently working. There's a movie out. I just saw a trailer for a film that he's in. It seems to be a horror movie, as I remember.
Okay. He had stopped by our studio a few years back. And who was with him? Somebody was with him as well.
Oh, God. Whoever was it. Was it Take Me Home Tonight? Was the name of that? Was it Alice Eve? No.
We would have remembered that.
If Alice Eve was here, I'm sorry, that would take precedence over Topher Grace.
Topher Grace would be
the
second guest in that arrangement.
Anyhow, he's 40 years old today. Another 40-year-old today, and I love this gal, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
And we got to know her in movies like The Fast and the Furious and Lost. She was one of the added-on cast members. Avatar, Machete.
Yeah.
And several
ton
other
of stuff.
Movies. Yeah, I've always liked her.
And she's either out with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, depending on how the wind blows.
Yep. So she's 40 years old today. The lovely Cheryl Ladd is celebrating her birthday.
You know, they show Charlie's Angels on MeTV.
Yeah.
How well written that show was.
It's
really amazing.
How brilliant
that show. But she was the replacement for Farrah Fawcett when Farrah Fawcett left.
Yeah.
And, you know, incredibly attractive, as you'd imagine.
She was her little sister, right?
Yes, she was Jill Monroe's sister.
Yeah. So she was also, which is an interesting bit of trivia, she was the singing voice of Melody in Josie and the Pussycats cartoon series.
How about that?
Yeah. So So she is 67 years old today.
She also had a successful clothing line. I think hers was with Kohl's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The okay. Cheryl Ladd
collection. The Cheryl Ladd yeah. collection, yeah.
yeah. Richard Simmons has a birthday today, and it's another milestone birthday. He's 70 years old. And there were rumors a while back that were kind of brushed off, and you don't hear much about it anymore, about him transitioning.
He fought in court. Yeah. He actually lost in court against the National Enquirer. But, yeah, I don't know. I assume he was furious, but his wife was livid. No, I'm kidding. But the whole thing
I forgot
was
who we were talking about for a second. I really did.
But he, you know.
It's funny. That makes me think of Austin Powers, the first movie. He goes, I can't believe Liberace was gay. I mean, women love that
they
guy.
They loved him. In fact, he used to be, Liberace was a heartthrob.
Yeah, yeah.
As was Richard Simmons, of course.
Well, yeah. Richard is 70 years old today. Hey, it's Bill Cosby's birthday today.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's not going to be a good one.
No, it's not. I don't think it's going to be a happy
So he's
birthday.
Facing what? Sentencing is in September?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's really, that since that conviction, I haven't really heard much about it.
And the question is, what level of incarceration? I'm incarcerated. What kind of incarceration do we receive?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So it's 81 for him today, Bill Cosby.
Sentencing is at the end of September.
All right.
Okay. And then also from the band Dream Theater, John Petrucci, guitarist.
Hell of a band.
51 years. I mean, yeah. I mean, these guys were virtuoso musicians.
I've listened to Dream Theater throughout the years, actually ever since, you know, knowing Zach and knowing some of the, we used to, you know, we've always played Dream Theater as bumper beds. I'll listen to them occasionally. It's not the kind of thing you can listen to all the time.
There you go. It's better, Casey.
Yeah, I don't know Dream Theater, so
For musicians, they're considered, you know, top
of the
top.
You mentioned Zach, and Zach was our imaging guy for a long period of time. And there was one time where I was pulling up beside Zach in traffic. He had no idea that it was me next to him, and he was clearly listening to something like Dream Theater, something because his hair was all over the place, and it was like he was at his own personal concert. Oh, it was awesome.
Music just as loud as it could possibly be.
And when you see somebody just enjoying music at such a pure level like that, he didn't care who was looking. It was just great to watch.
I rock out regularly in my car. Yeah. I beat the crap out of the steering wheel. I bang my head, especially if I put on something like this or Rage Against the Machine or some Rush tune that I really, really love, something that's really kinetic and aggressive. I can't help it.
All right, so do you use your steering wheel as an air guitar? I guess it wouldn't be an air guitar,
no,
would it?
No, air cymbals.
Sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I use my steering wheel. My steering wheel is a guitar. It's a drum kit. It's a keyboard.
Yeah.
And a bass.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is a dildo. But,
wow.
Yeah. It's, you know.
We'll use the stick shift for that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm a little creative. So anyhow, John Petrucci is celebrating his 51st birthday today. So happy birthday. And then the last one I saw is Christy Yamaguchi.
Uh-huh.
Olympic gold medal winning figure skater. And she is 47. She is 47 years old today. So happy birthday to her. All right, let's see if we can find someone who knows the answer to this question. What does UPC stand for? That is what we're looking at. And I am going to go to Alan.
Alan!
Hey, Alan!
Alan!
Good morning.
How you doing, Alan?
Alan!
Great.
Hang on a second.
Alan!
We got to beat your name to death here for a moment.
Alan!
Yeah.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, so that's not Alan.
It's Steve.
That's Steve.
Steve!
All right.
Steve!
Alan!
Steve!
Do me a favor. What does UPC stand for, please?
Universal Product Code.
Yeah, you got it. Hang on, man. Universal Product
so
Code.
So throughout the universe, you could identify that product.
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Since you got it right, we're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, July 20th and 21st. And you can visit MapleGroveRaceway.com for tickets and information.
I'm just curious to know how you knew that it was the UPC inventor's house.
Oh, well, Pierre Robert is a terrific tour guide, and he knows Lake Tahoe really well. And It's called the North Shore, and there are these homes that are incredible, including that one. So he was just pointing out some of the most amazing houses, and so he knows the history of a lot of the places.
Wow. I have to imagine you're looking at many multi-million-dollar estates around Lake
Tahoe.
Steve,
that was one of the bargain ones. I mean, like,
that was a fixer-upper.
Yeah. But there are houses that approach $100 million.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. And why not? It is so beautiful there, and it's residential as well, so why not?
Well, we just go home to our $20 million house.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about money for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And the number 20, 20-year-old Kylie Jenner is on her way to becoming one of the richest, most successful, and youngest entrepreneurs in our country.
Is this not amazing and sickening?
It is. She's on the cover of Forbes' Richest Self-Made Women issue, and she lands at number 27 in their tally.
Did I read correctly that she's poised to become a billionaire earlier than Facebook founder Zuckerberg?
Really?
Quite possible.
Yes.
Since founding Kylie Cosmetics in February of 2016, okay, so this is just a couple of years ago, her company has earned more than $630 million in revenue. She is the sole owner of the company.
She owns the entire company. Mm-hmm. So all of that revenue goes her way. And she is so just months away from becoming a billionaire.
Well, yes. And so I said $630 million in revenue. And by leveraging her massive social media following, she has 110 million Instagram followers and 225.6 million on Twitter. She has amassed a fortune worth $900
million. $900 million. So I think Kim is at 57, right? In the Forbes list?
I don't know.
So she's like, would you say 26 or something?
Actually, Kim is number 54, Steve.
54.
She's 350 million.
I mean, how much
it's got to kill her.
Little bitch.
I started this.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. And she had actually, you know, do a sex tape to kind of prime the pump and stuff.
Yeah. The pump was primed. I saw it.
I mean, I don't know how much work she actually does. And, you know, like, she's getting all this credit because obviously her name's behind it all, but like really.
Well, there was a little bit of a reaction to the fact that, you know, say they're calling her self-made. She did have a little seed funding from the family, which was already wealthy to begin with, but you cannot argue the fact. So she's more than likely, as with all of these, you know, like believe it or not, Kim Kardashian did not design write the code for the emojis that she has been offering. So what she does is they bring in these cosmetics and she says, I'd like it to be this way or that way. And that's it.
Yeah. But you know, and there could be more involvement. Like a friend of mine years ago worked with Nikki Hilton when they were, you know, in their heyday. And she had a line of, I forget what it was, some sort of like hair ties or scrunchies or hair dryer or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
No, but but her job was to go and sit with Nikki Hilton and decide what it was. And Nikki was making and she would make decisions. So there can be a little bit more involvement.
I do have issue with the term self-made. I really do.
In this case,
when your last name is Hilton, Kardashian, and you started it all yourself. No, self-made is somebody who came from a fairly meager background,
and was modest.
Able to begin something,
right?
That that was original, and they did it all on their own.
Well, that's the way I like my self-made people.
I read a great analogy that says a song calling her self-made is like saying that you're heating up a can of soup and saying you made it from scratch.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's a good point.
I also have a question. Do you think that this name is as big as it would be if Robert Kardashian wasn't friends with O.J. Simpson? That's where that name sort of became household, right?
Well, that did help it. The sex tape helped everything else. Mm-hmm. They insinuated themselves into all things, that culture, put it that way.
But
so
that sex
Calabasas.
Tape, yeah, but the sex tape, is the sex tape worth anything if
her name isn't Kardashian?
If her name, or if OJ doesn't kill his wife,
well,
ex-wife.
Yeah, I don't think people say we're fascinated by this family because of Robert Shapiro. No, I don't think so. I think it was the sex tape that helped leverage everything.
Okay,
there was a bit of that because certainly the people who are now the predominant part of her fan base were probably not even aware that much of the connection of Robert Shapiro.
No, but the name Kardashian got a leg up because of the.
I mean, Shapiro.
Yeah, Robert, but Kardashian's not a Kardashian, like, unless because she was friends with Paris Hilton, right? Like, so
there were a number of steps.
Yeah,
whatever it is, it's wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, OJ.
Well, so the most success, this is according to the editor, Louisa Kroll, says the most successful women entrepreneurs in the country are increasingly taking advantage of technology, including social media, to help them launch and grow businesses. That's one reason why we've seen a notable influx of Instagram savvy moguls like 20-year-old Kylie Jenner in the ranks of America's richest self-made women.
Well, she was, yeah, it was all predicated on building up a super healthy Instagram following and then unleashing her products. Yeah. What kills me, though, is that the initial product that really took her over the top with success was this lip kit. She's had her lips, and they just came out recently, apparently, but she had filler put in her lips. So the whole look of her lips was really a cosmetic surgery as opposed to this cosmetic.
The lip gloss.
This lip gloss.
The combined net worth of this issue's crop is worth $71 billion, 15% more than last year's. The minimum required for entree onto the list is $320 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Jenner is the youngest to be featured. Other top earners include Oprah Winfrey, who is at number six. She's got over $3 billion.
Yeah.
I can't forget to leave out the point one because that's $100 yeah. million. Dollars. Yeah. Sheryl Sandberg at number 12. Tory Burch is number 29. Madonna is still there. She's number 36.
Wow.
Yep.
So Kylie's ahead of Madonna.
Donna Karen is number 43. Celine Dion is number 46. Judy Scheindlin
Judge Judy's super wealthy.
Judge Judy is higher up than Beyonce.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Judge Judy is number 48. Barbara Streisand is tied at 48.
Jeez.
Then Beyonce at number 53. Kim Kardashian number 54. And Taylor Swift is number 60 on the list. So they're making a lot of money, man.
And the reason that I would never say anything bad about her lip gloss is because they are considering sending samples for the Bitch Box.
Well, there you go. Okay. All right.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. Do you approve? Have you used them?
I have one of the lip glosses. Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, she makes some wise selections.
If it's a decent product, that's cool. But
hell, I'll use it.
American culture is littered with stuff because you slap the name on it. It helped it become successful.
Yeah.
Certainly. Royals are supposed to stay mum on all things political, but the newly minted Duchess Meghan Markle has reportedly continued her streak of flouting convention by seemingly signaling, however subtly, her approval of abortion rights, according to this story, after the Duchess of Sussex attended a garden party on Tuesday night. In Dublin, Irish Senator Catherine Noone tweeted that she had had a chat with Meghan about the May referendum that overturned the abortion ban in Ireland. And apparently Noone wrote, she watched with interest and was pleased to see the result.
Mm-hmm. I see. Interesting.
Noone attempted to walk it back, tweeting shortly after that. I should say she seemed pleased. She was interested and very measured, not political at all.
I guess I should shut my gob.
Yeah, she later deleted both tweets yeah. and told the Irish Independent that she had unintentionally...
Congratulations to Kylie Jenner.
Misled people with her comments.
It was a big mistake, but it was a lovely garden.
Andy Dick's decades-long history of sexual misconduct has received attention of late after he got charged with one count of sexual battery on July 2nd for grabbing a woman's butt and making lewd comments on the street in Los Angeles. Now, the Hollywood Reporter is claiming that a woman was once assigned to, quote, butt in on conversations that Dick had on set with younger actors in an attempt to stamp out misconduct before it happened.
Yeah. So he was like a sexual assault border collie, right?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The woman who wants to remain anonymous tells the Hollywood Reporter that she worked with him on NBC's short-lived sitcom called Go Fish, which was on in 2001. Kieran Culkin was in it and a handful of other people, Adam Brody. And a
classic.
So while she got a gig as an extra, she was eventually hired by producers to prevent him from, quote, cornering underage actors and saying nasty, sexually explicit things. They told her, anytime you see Andy approach one of the actors, just butt into the conversation like, hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
How's it going, guys?
How's it going?
In my 20-year-old mind, she said, I knew that it was a shady situation, but I wasn't worried about Andy. I wasn't worried about Andy Dick, and so I said yes. Still, the plan wasn't foolproof. She claims that Dick attempted to lock one of the 19-year-old stars into a room and expose his penis.
Wow.
So this is back in 2001.
Nice work, Marissa.
Yeah.
Way to give 110%.
So I could see that. I could see them saying, hey, can you just
do us a favor?
Yeah.
If you see him talking to anybody,
yeah,
just dart in and stop it.
Be a blocker of sorts. Once you've starred in a movie that's nominated for an Oscar, it's safe to say that you're famous, right?
Yeah.
Well, Saoirse Ronan, who is 24 years old, still doesn't feel famous, though. She graces the cover of Vogue for its August issue. And inside, the Lady Bird star discusses the perils and pleasures of working in the movie industry since the age of 9. She said, "I still get completely shocked that anyone knows who I am." She had said, told Vogue this after a fan asked to take a photo with her in her native island. When asked if she'd rather blend into the crowd, she said, "Yeah, I would, but I'm not famous." She says, "I just genuinely don't think that I am." She said, "Selena Gomez is famous,
of course, and we all know that."
That's what she says.
That's amazing. Did you see the video I sent to you?
Yeah,
she's indeed so cute.
Yeah.
It's one of those things they do where they have her ask. It's obviously scripted, but they're rapid-fire questioning her.
Yeah, I think it's called 73 Questions.
73 Questions. And then
Saoirse Ronan.
She's going around her, I guess, her British apartment.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah.
I love her and the accent.
It's wonderful.
She's just thinking.
It's such a garden party, asking inappropriate questions to Meghan Markle.
I love how they drop the G on ING words. Ronan continued saying she avoided reading about herself. So she said,
"I was farting."
What was that sound?
I was farting. Farting hard. You just know that'd be adorable.
Uh-huh.
Just outside, standing in the glen, farting.
In the glen.
In the glen. The morning dew collected on the leaves and grass.
Yeah.
And just decided it'd be a good time for farting. It does sound better, doesn't it?
Oh,
it does.
Oh, it needs to be
where
a song.
Where were you, Auntie Saoirse? I was outside farting gear. Farting hard.
There needs to be a song called Farting in the Glen.
Farting in the Glen.
Mm-hmm.
By the Traveling Brothers.
Ronan continued saying that... she avoided reading about herself. She said, "If you're not aware of how often you're in a newspaper, then it's like it's not really happening. I just get so anxious whenever I watch anything that I'm in. I'm fine with the way I look now, but I wouldn't necessarily be looking at photographs of myself all day. I don't want to become too consumed by the image of myself."
She's in one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, Brooklyn.
Ronan has been nominated for 93 awards for her work. She has won 46 awards, most recently a Golden Globe. And she will next appear with Margot Robbie in Mary, Queen of Scots, and she plays the titular Mary, while Robbie is going to play her half-sister, Elizabeth I. So, should be pretty interesting.
That medieval garb is great because you can spend all day farting. No one will smell it.
She's great. When Little People, Big World first premiered on TLC.
Jeremy, your show, Kathy.
Jeremy, yes. Roloff was 16 years old. You used to watch this?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know me.
Now a 28-year-old married father of an infant daughter, Roloff has announced that he and his wife, Audrey, are leaving the reality show.
Oh, no.
He said, "A year ago, I made the decision that this season..."
This is heartbreaking news.
..would be our last. I watched a few of them. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
The series actually debuted in 2006. It's still on. And follow the lives of Matt and Amy Roloff, along with their four children, Zach, Jeremy, Molly, and Jacob.
They live under a bridge, right?
Nope. Matt, Amy, and Zach have dwarfism, while Jeremy, Molly, and Jacob are of average height.
Have you guys watched Little People Basketball League?
No. I have to say, the one that takes place in L.A. I've watched.
Okay.
And you know what it is? It's all... It's any other reality show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so long you can harp on.
Yeah.
You know, the diminutive issue.
Yeah.
And then it's just any other reality show.
Yeah, Kathy, my brother showed me some
here it
footage
is, Case.
Of a... All right, so I think this is the one. You got to watch this crossover because he crosses this guy over and the dude just falls. Like, smashes his face on the court. Yeah, it is just hilarious.
They're playing for keeps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guy's got a great three-pointer there.
Yeah, so type in, like, little person crossover on
basketball. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Little people have facial injuries?
God, it's almost like they're human, Casey.
It's almost.
Dude. Oh, my God. You guys are almost. Listen, it's.
All right,
you just are a basketball fan.
Whether they're little people or big
it's
people.
It's travel size basketball.
Falling, smashing face.
Smalling, smashing their faces. It's great.
Okay.
All right. So watch this way. Yeah, boom.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that great?
It looked painful.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a bizarre element to your enjoyment of that, I have to say.
Over the years, there have been plenty of changes, including Amy and Matt divorcing, Zach, Jeremy, and Molly getting married.
It's very strange.
And both Zach and Jeremy becoming parents. As for the future, Jeremy wrote that he and his wife have a lot of exciting stuff in the works and are eager to continue the work that the Lord has called us to.
Oh, okay. So in the series, they're very religious?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, this is Kathy's show. Kathy, in this show, are they very religious?
He thanked both the fans and TLC for their support. So it's had a long-running go at it.
There's like three or four of these shows on currently, correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, there has to be.
Has there?
I mean, I know you're the entertainment reporter, but you can't watch everything.
I only know Little People, Big World.
That's your thing. That's your jam.
As far as people with dwarfism go. After getting fans excited for the past year, Paul Reiser is walking it back. His claims about an imminent revival of Mad About You, the Mad About You reboot. He said it's kind of stuck in the business end of it now. He said of the new series in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, the rebooted version would have focused on Reiser and Helen Hunt's characters dealing with their empty nest after their daughter leaves for college.
I don't think I want to see it.
Reiser continued by saying Sony is trying to figure out from their end, and that's where I just walk away and go, call me when you figure it out.
Do you know what I would watch?
What?
Mad About You, Little People version.
He said, I don't know what happens at that level. They make their deals with whoever they make their deals with, so we'll see if it happens. It may not happen. It likely won't happen.
I like Paul Reiser, but I was never a huge fan of Mad About You.
Yeah, neither was I. NBC, ABC, and Fox have passed on a revival. Reiser is holding out very tenuous hope for a streamer to pick it up.
Do you know what he was good in? Stranger Things.
Yeah, he was great in
Wait a second, I forgot. Spoiler alert. Did he?
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
His fate on the show?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
It's official. Amber Heard and Vito Schnabel sealed their rumored romance with a big kiss at Wimbledon.
Oh!
The 32-year-old Aquaman star and the art curator.
Well, you got a little Schnabel on your chin.
Have reportedly been dating for a few months. Got some Schnabel in your teeth there.
Oh, my God.
They've been dating for a few months, but this is the first time they've appeared so publicly together.
What's Schnabel's claim to fame? Is he a model, a director,
he's an art,
a millionaire?
Curator.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would imagine he's doing pretty good.
100% Schnabel.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Schnabel.
The driver of the car that hit George Clooney when he was riding on his scooter in Sardinia, Italy, does not spend much time on TMZ. Antonello Viglione, who is 65 years old, reportedly had no clue who George Clooney was.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Clooney suffered trauma to his pelvis, hip, and knee, but is reportedly recovering at home with Amal and their twins. But if you haven't seen the video footage of it yet, he slam into it hard.
Yep, absolutely.
Just nails it. So he was lucky to walk away with just those injuries.
Clooney has a villa in Lake Como, which is a really gorgeous part of Italy.
Yeah.
You've seen it in there. It's featured in a couple of the Star Wars movies, in Casino Royale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you know, this beautiful lake. He lives along that lake.
I think it shows up in Ocean's 12. I think he's in it at the end of Ocean's 12, which isn't the best of the Ocean's movies, but
yeah.
He spends some time there with Julia Roberts.
He is currently on the mend, and this guy had no idea who he was. Hey, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is withdrawing his rumored bid for president. He said, unfortunately, I don't see it happening in 2020. This was at the premiere for Skyscraper. He said, it's a position that requires years of hard work and experience to learn the skills. There's a lot of ground to cover. And due to my schedule, it's not possible in 2020.
Why would you ever go through that anyway when you're the highest banking movie star in the world?
Yeah.
And put yourself through that crap.
However, he held out hope for a 2024 bid. He said, I have so much respect for the position. It's something that I seriously considered.
He's going to have a hard time beating Kylie Jenner.
He said, what I need is time to go out and learn. So we'll see if that happens in the next few years.
Any advance word on this movie, Skyscraper? It really looks like it's Die Hard 2.0.
I do not know.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any feedback on it. Nick is looking it up and right now on the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter. It's at 54%. But 95% want to see it.
Die Hard meets Towering Inferno? Is that what I heard?
Sort of, yeah. There's a raging fire. There's the wife and the family are in the skyscraper. There's a criminal element.
Okay.
Did we send somebody out there for a press junket? Okay.
Oh, maybe it was Rampage.
Oh, that's what it was. Yep. All right, I knew
he's got a movie coming out every 3 weeks.
Yeah, it does seem like it. Benedict Cumberbatch and Ava DuVernay have a new line to add to their resumes. The actor and director have been named PETA's most beautiful vegan celebrities for 2018.
Thanks for totally overlooking us, Preston.
They beat out Zac Efron, Ellen Pompeo, and Neo for the honor.
Zac Efron's a vegan.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. PETA Senior Vice President Lisa Lang said Ava DuVernay and Benedict Cumberbatch are saving animals not only by going vegan, but also by sharing their commitment with the world. The vegan powerhouses behind Selma and Doctor Strange beautifully show what it means to be a compassionate star in 2018. So they have received
I'm very encouraged by Costco's vegan bowl.
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Actor Simon Pegg is in a healthy state of mind as he promotes the latest installment of the Mission Impossible franchise. But just a few years ago, he was living a much different reality, he revealed in a new interview. Pegg opened up about his battle with depression and alcoholism in a new interview with the UK's Guardian. He said, when I watched that film back, I can see where I was then, meaning Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah.
Which was fairly lost and unhappy and an alcoholic. He said, it was awful, terrible, and it owned me. Pegg said that his crisis years were marked by a dependence on alcohol to numb feelings of sadness. So he was depressed, and he was using alcohol to try and fix that problem.
Yeah. When we had him through here the last time, he was... He had beaten it and was sort of talking about that and getting past that. So he's great in those Mission Impossible movies, which honestly I thought, okay, they're doing a second one, and the first one was okay, it's fun. Mm-hmm. Second one was it's all right. And then J.J. Abramson, I think, did the third one, and they've been sort of must-see since then.
Yeah, he said, I would feel like I'm in a film with Tom Cruise. I've got the part of Scotty in Star Trek. This should be making me feel happy, but it wasn't. Pegg said that rehab and seeking help from Alcoholics Anonymous helped him get on the path toward health. He went into recovery as shooting started on 2011's Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. And he said, I don't think that I would be here now if I hadn't had help. Fallout opens in theaters this week, by the way.
Not that it really matters. I don't think he was in the second one. I think he started in Mission Impossible 3.
Right, 3. That was the
first. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant 3. Yeah, yeah. Mission Impossible 3. And you know what? I got an email the other day of our listeners who are on their way to Paris.
Yes.
To go to the premiere, the trip that we gave away.
How cool is that?
They look really excited.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked for them and this trip, which is cool. Handmaid's Tale just unleashed its fiery finale last night, which I can't watch until my wife gets back, who is out of town right now, because I'll be cheating on her if I do.
May I tell you something?
No.
Do what everyone else does. Watch it and just don't tell her.
Oh, no.
Nah. You just need to take the time to... And ladies, you do it as well. And then you act surprised as you watch it again with your...
Yeah, because she's watching it.
Because she's watching it.
Wherever she is,
she's watching.
I have 3 more days. I can make it. So now the book's author, Margaret Atwood, is saying that many of the events are based on actual real-life happenings. She said, I didn't make them up. This is a new trailer for Masterclass. She's the latest of many celebrated creators, including David Mamet and Aaron Sorkin, to offer writing classes to the company.
damn. Wow. We got to get that.
Did you hear that?
That was awesome.
I went. I was simply inhaling. She said. She said, when I wrote The Handmaid's Tale, nothing went into it that had not happened in real life somewhere at some time. The reason I made that rule is that I didn't want anybody saying, you certainly have an evil imagination, you made up all these bad things.
So the second season is not predicated. There was just the book, the initial book, which is the basis of the first one.
Yes.
And the second season is original material.
Yes, exactly. And it is so good. We can't get enough of it. In fact, we're already going through a bit of a depression that the last episode is coming
up. But they're doing a third season, clearly.
Clearly, yeah, yeah, it's incredibly popular.
They have a green light for the third season. It is, oh my God, it is such a good show. It is by far my favorite television show. She is offering up a masterclass. So you can find out more about her craft if you get on board with that. And then one last thing, Gary Oldman and Jessica Alba are set to star in Goldfinch Studios' Martin Owen-helmed thriller Killers Anonymous. The Darkest Hour star and Sin City actress are top lining the film, which just began filming in London. Killers is going to depict what is really happening behind the day-to-day superficialities we all breeze mindlessly through.
I've been waiting for that kind of movie. Day-to-day superficialities that we breeze on through.
Yes, mindlessly, every day.
Anything more they can offer? Or is it just that generic description?
It's that generic. But I haven't seen Jessica Alba in anything in quite some time.
Well, she's been doing her multi-million dollar company of baby products that apparently all feature asbestos.
No. They're supposedly organic, right?
They're organic. There was one issue with one of them. Asbestos onesies.
I don't really know anything about this thing.
I haven't seen. Well, you know what? Was she in the last? She was in the second version. She was the sequel to
Fantastic Four.
Here, I'll tell you what.
What was her last?
She was in El Camino Christmas in 2017.
Forget that one.
Mechanic Resurrection.
Sin City 2?
In 2016. Well, Sin City 2 came out a while back.
Yeah.
That was A Dame to Kill For. That came out in 2014.
All right.
She was in the Taylor Swift Bad Blood video.
Of course. Uh-huh. Love it.
She was on Entourage. She hasn't really done anything super high profile in a while. So maybe this will be her returning to such things. All right. We're ready for clips this morning. In Take Two, Sam Swift is an actress fresh out of rehab who shadows a private investigator as she prepares for her comeback role. Star Rachel Bilson believes this show is different than average shows, and here she explains that. Here we go.
It's a procedural, but it's kind of from a more of a comedic perspective, which is a lot of fun. You know, you watch the other procedurals, which are great, but they're all serious. So you add this other element, and then people can have fun while they go on the journey with everyone in the episode.
Shut up, dummy.
Catch Take Two on 10 p.m. or at 10 p.m. on ABC tonight. Let's do the next one. Cloak and Dagger. A new Marvel show is making its way through season one. Here, Aubrey Joseph talks about his in-depth method for preparing for this role.
Yeah, it was really about just finding the humanity in the characters and the realness in the characters. And that was like one of the most important parts, you know, like they have superpowers and that's going to be a great part of the show. But the most important part is just like who Tyrone and who Tandy is.
Shut up, dummy.
A new episode of Cloak and Dagger airs tonight at 8 p.m. And that is on Freeform. And that's it.
Yeah, yes!
It's like taking
a really big dump. Get it all out.
Get it done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've done that. All right. Let's take a break. Come back in a little bit. We're going to have comedian Ron Funchess on the show this morning. Dunkin' Donuts is stopping in with a bit of an announcement.
Yes.
And a meet and eat, which means that we'll have a chance for you to win some goodies from those guys. So we'll take a quick break. Come back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning, please.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Let's focus on what's important. I won!
She's still living that.
Do you know, I got so many messages about that comment, how that made people laugh, apparently.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I loved it. The video, by the way, the Daily Rush video is up if you want to see it's edited down to the basics of what happened during the week of Bucksco versus Delco. It was really, really well done, thanks to Nick Murphy and company.
Let's focus on what's important.
It's pretty awesome. You got to check it out when you get a chance.
Boys.
Hey, you know what? We've done, we made this announcement yesterday, but it was a little later in the show. But we've done, over the years of the Preston and Steve Show, 20 years, we've done many different makeovers throughout the years.
Yes.
Too many that I can't put them all together. Remember, we did Jackie Bam Bam. We had Casey. We had listeners come in. We had makeovers done.
Hey, I wore wigs for a whole day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
This time around, we're doing kind of the opposite of the wig thing. And we are doing the comb-over intervention, or a comb-over makeover, if you will, for guys that are just in denial and they're hanging on to that hovering hair on the outskirts of their cranium. And they just won't let it go. You know, it will, if they really like that look, it'll grow back.
Yeah.
But how about shaving it off and seeing what it looks like?
Take it out for a spin. We know you'll be happy with the results.
It's just not a flattering look with that hair that you're hanging on to. And listen, so here's what we want to do. We would like you to nominate somebody that you know that needs this intervention done.
You know who these people are. You probably live with one.
Yeah, and if you would like to do that, you can email Nick at WMMR.com about that, because we're going to have our friends from Shaving Grace come in here on July 25th that morning. And not only are they going to shave the hair, they'll give them the hot towel treatment. They'll really pamper them a little
bit.
Give them a whole new look.
Cheese curl.
We'll do before and after that. Well, I don't know about that. And what you need to do is send their information to us. So we need an email address. We need a photo, if you can get a picture with them, plus a description of your relationship with that person and why this would be important to both of you. So send that to Nick@WMMR.com. And if we get enough, we will make this thing happen.
I'm very passionate about this because I know that many of them will feel liberated once they get it done. If you are rocking the flap comb over, get rid of it. You're going to feel great. If you are rocking that excessive hair around the side of your head because you think it distracts from the bald on top, it's okay.
Yeah.
As you said now, bald is okay. It's in. Shave it down.
It's been in for
a while. It's been in for a while.
Yeah, come on board.
Take a walk on the wild side.
You know, I didn't think about it. I just don't see it the same, but my dad basically has that.
Does he?
Yes, and he will. And now he shaves it. Like, he's shaved his head. But he doesn't really care, so he'll let it grow back, and then it'll get long, and my mom will yell at him, and he'll shave it again.
If Dennis were to grow it back, would it come in that pattern?
Oh, probably.
Yeah?
At this point, yeah. I mean, I've never known him with hair.
Do you remember that Seinfeld episode where the guy shaved his head and then when he grew it back in, he realized he was bald and he started freaking out?
No.
Like, he always shaved his head. Oh my God, I'm bald!
No,
he had been shaving his head forever.
So we just want to help out. Listen, if you don't like the look, you grow it back.
That's fine.
If
you're married to it, that's what you love. We're not for you. This is for people who need to be sort of bitch slapped into reality.
Especially if you're balding on the younger side.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so email Nick at WMMR.com. By the way, my beard is coming back in.
Do you feel better about it now?
I'm going to shave this weekend, or just to shave
contour.
It.
Your lice beard?
Use your Harry's razor?
Shut up.
Your lice beard?
My lice beard.
Well, it's actually not hair, Kathy. It's actually lice woven together.
It's all...
They just stay
still. Holding hands, yeah.
I don't know if you've been watching the Phils, Preston, but Gabe Kapler is growing a beard right now, too.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, yeah. It looks good. I mean, anything on that guy looks good. But
he is my bud. We did have a catch.
Yeah.
He's kind of a father figure to me, actually. Yep.
I really find Preston to be an inspiration. The way he looks. Wait, the whole thing.
What did he say to you when we pulled in the parking lot in Clearwater?
We pull up. The sun hadn't even come up, and we saw him in the parking lot. We go, hey, you know, Skip, hey, Coach, you know, Gabe, come over. I said, we're going to be interviewing you later on. He goes, lucky me. or something along those lines. How great for me.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But he swears later on that when we talked to him that he meant it in the most genuine way.
Sure. Right.
All right, so there's a piece of audio I want to hear. So we were just talking about Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard yesterday, because Kristen Bell, I did a stupid question about sloths.
Yes.
And Kristen Bell loves sloths, so much so that when her husband Dax brought one to their home, a zoo had brought it so she could spend a little time with the sloth, she actually cried because she was so happy.
Like a little baby.
She is so funny. She's a
I love her.
Quirky, awesome
yes,
girl.
Yeah.
And so he was on Kimmel and talks about this weird, I haven't heard this yet, but you were describing it to me, Steve, about some phobia that she has in the pool.
Right. She'd posted, the picture is up here in the studio, Preston. It's on the Instagram account. It's Kristen Bell in the pool wearing gloves, like full gloves.
Yeah.
In the pool. So, that was addressed, and he explains what that's about. And apparently, this is fairly common.
I want to see if anybody else shares this. So
yeah,
if you
I don't
do,
know. Yeah.
you should call, because if it's common...
If it's common, we want to know about it. If he was just talking out his ass, we want to know about that as well.
All right, here we go.
What I had been told thus far is that she just doesn't like going in the pool.
Okay.
So she'll take the kids out there, but she just sits in a lawn chair or whatever. So the heat wave was so dramatic, she had to get in the pool. So she, I'm getting in. I was like, oh, this is exciting. She goes, I got to get my pool gloves. And I was like... Hey, your pool gloves. Well, you gonna do some underwater welding? Are you gonna hatch a crack in there? Come to find out, she has this weird phobia that when her fingertips are pruny, she doesn't want to touch other people's skin. That's too much for her, apparently.
Why?
A Hollywood actress. I mean, I don't know what.
So when she's been in a while and your fingertips start to get all wrinkly and pruny,
it freaks her out.
It freaks her out.
She doesn't like to touch people.
Huh. I wonder, okay, if you share this, I want to hear it. 215-263-WMMR is the number. You know, we have a pool at my house. We built it probably, I think this is our sixth season with it. And I, during the summer, I try to go out almost every single day.
Do you?
And just, even if it's just 5 minutes, even if it's just, because you have that luxury. You have that privilege.
Privilege.
You have a pool. Sorry,
neighbors, I have a pool. I purchased a pool with my income. I can handle it.
The what?
Man.
The water is there, and so why not just jump in, get wet, hop back out?
Right.
I've even got a robe.
You don't use a
top on my robe after I get out.
Throckmorton, please. Throckdaiquiri and today's newspaper.
And my pipe.
Where's my pipe? And please walk the shih tzus.
And so I will sometimes just go out for a 5 or a 10 minute dip and get out and but so here's the reason I bring this up. Rochelle never.
What?
Never goes in the pool.
What?
I know. So now when it was a week or two ago when we had that stretch of 95 degrees.
Yes.
She finally got in the pool.
Okay.
And it's a temperature thing for her. It's she doesn't
really
like cold. Even, you know, the pool is, unless you get a stretch of really warm days, pool's always going to feel a little bit cool.
You don't have a heater?
I do. But I'm not putting it on in the summer.
I also have a heating device that keeps the water warm.
Yeah.
But
you won't even just turn it on for a little bit so that Rochelle can get in? So
it's on. It's on all the time.
You can't turn it on for a little bit. A heater's got to go on for hours.
You're heating an entire pool full of water.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Okay. But
sorry,
anyway,
I don't have a pool in my backyard.
She doesn't use it much. Kathy,
I want one so bad. I really do.
Go get one.
Well, the problem is, Preston, I can't get a straight answer on how much they cost, right? Like,
okay.
Well, it's like, well, you got to, you know, are you going to do the hardscaping or the... Dude, listen. Bare minimum, I want an in-ground pool. Bare minimum. I don't need E.P. Henry pavers. I don't need waterfalls, although they look nice. I don't need all that. Just how much does it cost for a little kidney-shaped pool in my backyard?
I don't know. Have you had someone come over and give you an estimate?
No.
Well, that's what you got to do.
I know, but that's too much work.
You know what?
Too much,
too much work. Try this thing. Google.
Yeah. Oh, Steve, shut up. Yeah. I tried Google.
Okay.
There are no answers.
It is based on, listen, they obviously are going to look to upscale it and upsell you. But the truth of the matter is you can say, listen, here's what I want. It's a chunk of change, but it's an investment too, because you will use it a lot.
Yes.
Like Preston uses it every goddamn day.
I would use it all the time. I would use it all the time.
Is the name on line one spelled correctly? That's what I'm asking you, Marissa. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pantomime because there's a caller named Omdi.
Yes.
I'm guessing that's not it because we've had misspellings every single day on names, and I was just trying to get her attention, so I apologize. Right. That's why I was flashing my hands there.
I thought you were just...
There we go.
Yeah.
Now, it is indeed Andy. It's not Omdi.
Robbie, you're not allowed on the phones anymore.
But that might
be the other guy.
That might be... Maybe it's a girl, and that's how she spelled
well,
it.
Well, it's now correctly
it's
spelled.
It's been corrected.
Andy.
It's Andy.
Before
it was
Omdi.
Sorry.
Yeah. Got it.
Hi, Andy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What's up, Andy?
Hey, so I have always had that weird phobia. I've always been around water. I was a swimmer in high school, and people think it's ridiculous and would always try to come up and, like, grab my hand because... It would make me almost throw up.
So wait a minute.
Wow.
So they would your own hands are wrinkly and pruny from the water, you don't like to touch other things.
I cannot touch my own hands or any other like pruny, wet type of
Okay, so other skin.
That's funny.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. And how does that make you feel when you do that?
Like gross? Nauseous?
Yeah, nauseous.
Have you ever actually gotten to the point where you vomited because of it?
I have not, but I have always kind of, I guess, swatted them away and run.
Well, let me ask you, Omdi. No, let me ask you, Andy, because doing some research on this, swimming gloves are actually common. You can get them on Amazon.
Really?
So do you have those?
No, and I had no idea about them. And then I saw that article about Dax Shepard and them and Kristen Bell, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Other people have to
see. So you just found out about that.
Yes.
All right.
No. Well, this is supposed to be liberating.
That's like when I found out about ASMR and other people have it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's more of us. So, well, that's.
I sent it out to everybody I knew. I was like, look, I'm not the only one.
Well, that must have been awesome to know that you're not a loon.
Yeah. But, Andy, are you aware of why your fingers prune up? And if you are, that doesn't help. The biological reasoning?
Yeah, it just doesn't help. The feeling, I don't know, it almost feels to me like if I touch it, my skin will fall off.
Yeah, but you know, biologically...
I can see that.
It's your body actually adapting to the water, and your fingers...
She doesn't care.
And your fingers prune up to give you better grip while your hands are wet.
And your feet.
And
your
feet,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't help.
Okay, it doesn't help.
Keys, wasn't that... That was like the sign of a good day at the pool, though.
Oh, yeah.
If your hands got wrinkly...
Bloodshot eyes and wrinkly hands.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, and then you had
when you see there's a haze.
Yes. When you got the haze, it was time to go home.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And it would last for a while. You'd be watching TV later on that night. Is there something wrong with the TV set?
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter just this year started swimming without goggles, opening her eyes underwater without, because I don't use goggles at all. I prefer to just open my eyes and. But
your pool's heated.
There's been a couple times where we've spent, and I have a saltwater pool, so I've been. Even that will give you the hazy eyes.
Yeah.
Will it? Not just the chlorine.
Not just the chlorine, huh?
Yeah. So I found that out recently. Hang on. I have only one other caller that has the pruny phobia, but it is, it's a thing apparently. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. What's up, Chris?
I can't do the pruny thing.
You can't do the pruny thing.
No.
Has this been since you were a kid?
I think so, but my husband even makes fun of me. Like, we'll go down to the beach, and he'll look at me, and I'll be standing in 4 feet of water in the ocean with my hands almost waving above me that I can't get in the water.
You hold your hands above the waterline.
I do.
I'm about
to hit a pool to go swimming now, so I can only do about a half hour, and then I got to get out because I can't. And it's not touching skin. It's fabric. I can't touch fabric when they're pruny, especially denim.
The sensitivity does change a little bit when you have wrinkly fingertips and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, not unlike Andy who called in earlier, had you ever heard of like-minded people?
No, because pretty much everybody just thinks I'm a weirdo.
Okay.
You're not alone.
I can't do the glove thing either, because if you put gloves on, my hands sweat inside the gloves, and then they still get pruned.
Well, not only that, then you're also surrounded by fabric when you're wearing the gloves.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
You're screwed.
Chris just hit something on me when she said the denim. If my hands are, if I get out of the shower and my hands are dry and I have yet to put, like, moisturizer on, mm-hmm. I can't, if I touch, like, clothing, I put my clothes on and it, like, almost scrapes against it, I almost get the same feeling that they're talking about.
You guys have sense. You wouldn't believe what I do with my hands.
or my feet. Like, if I've been at the beach or at the pool walking around with no shoes on and you get, you know, a little bit of the dry skin on the... I can't put them against the sheets. Oh, my God. It will wake me up in the middle of the night and I'll have to go put lotion on.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
So,
you too.
Years ago, you and I finally bought for the beach... swim shoes, you know, because if you're going to an area where it's particularly gravelly or whatever.
Like aqua socks.
That makes a difference.
Yep.
And they did sell these swim gloves that were sort of like webbed.
Yeah.
That are pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
My kids had some first couple of years that we had the pool, and you do get to swim a little faster,
yeah.
like with fins. A few more people calling in, and may I note, all girls so far.
All girls.
Hi, Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kate. So you have the pruny phobia as well?
I do. It's a little bit different. It's not so much for me like skin to skin. It's more like touching fabric. So
again,
okay.
Another fabric.
I have to wait to like get dressed until it's like, it's, yeah. I have,
I get it. I get it now.
So you have to wait. So when you get out of the shower, you have to wait to get dressed because you don't want to touch the fabric of the clothing you're putting on.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about a towel? So you can't. How do you towel off then? Because that's fabric.
Yeah, it's more so. It's almost like it just sounds like such a weird scenario, but it's like, you know, when your kids chew on stuff and they're teething and they put like velvet in your mouth. You know how like it sounds like such a weird feeling to, if that's what it's almost
so you're
like.
Saying when you're eating velvet,
you lost me at velvet in your mouth.
Wait, you put velvet in the kid's mouth when they're teething?
Like he's got a ball that has all different textures on it.
Oh.
And one of them is velvet.
I don't know. Doesn't that freak you? Like, I don't know. When I see that, I'm like, ugh, that's what
send this kid back.
I thought velvet was like a male stripper.
I don't get it. Hey, Kate, let me ask you, because Kathy says that once she moisturizes, it's okay to touch fabric. Same thing with you?
I think it helps. It's like a weird, it's almost like you have to let them dry out slowly. It's, I don't know. It's
okay. All right. Thank you, Kate. That's women have, there are two things so that weird. I find odd about women, moisturizing and conditioner. Like that's like my wife has more moisturizer and conditioner than any other product.
Well, the
in
reason
our home.
She has a lot of conditioner is because it goes, the shampoo goes faster, so you end up with a lot of bottles of conditioner.
Hey, let me ask you a side question along those lines. Do you think that has anything to do with why she may not go into the pool so much?
I don't know. So lubed up.
Never asked.
Well, if you go in and out of the pool a lot, you're going to dry your skin out. And if moisturizer and conditioner are important to you,
you want to call her and ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't it embarrassing when you're leaving an oil slick behind you when you go swimming?
Yeah.
You look like the Exxon Valdez.
I'm gonna blow your mind, Preston.
Oh, you know what? It's 6:30. She's in Missouri. Don't call her. She's asleep. Never mind.
Don't wake her on
vacation.
Don't
wake her. Seriously. I know. Dude, I'll hear about it.
So I have to moisturize before I, you know, touch any of the clothing. However, if I've moisturized and I know it's going to be a hot day out or I know I'm going to work out, that also skeeves me out. The sweating off the moisturizer. Oh.
Oh my God, Preston!
How do you leave the house?
So sometimes I'm not kidding you. If I have time, and it's rare, but if I've moisturized that morning, I'll try to rinse off before I go for a jog.
Okay.
When I work out and I'm sweating, I know you do the same thing, Preston. I cannot wait to put my hands between my ass cheeks.
Oh yeah,
I would die
because of the hair and the gritty feeling.
Yeah,
it's just awesome.
Uh-huh. Kath, you were a little pool rat. The girls at my pool growing up, what they would do is because we would be at the pool all day.
Yeah.
They would load their hair up with conditioner,
yes, right,
and not rinse it out. And that would sort of protect the hair from that chlorine.
Yeah, because
the
pool dries your hair out. I mean, some of the girls, especially if they were blonde, their hair would turn green by the end of the summer because of the chlorine. So
it's kind of hot.
Yeah, they would.
Very Star Trek.
You'd put the conditioner in to kind of like over moisturize it, and that way you could go in the pool all day.
God bless my wife. There's like, you know, things stacked in a row, and there's a procession, and there's it's a process. I think when you embalm a body, there's less work involved.
Yeah, there was.
You're right, Preston. It's all about the moisture.
Comedian Richard Jenning had a bit about he went into a women's bathroom and he saw all the moisturizing cream moisturizers. He's like, they come from a drying planet. They need moisture. I do have some guys on the line, but I want to go to Jenna first about this odd little phobia. Hi, Jenna. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. So you had the pruny thing, not unlike Kristen Bell, which is how we got started on this conversation. If you're in water too long and you get your hands start to prune up, you can't touch. What is your issue with it?
My issue with it is mostly like everybody else's, but especially with the skin, to the point where like someone could probably be drowning and I'd honestly sit there for a minute and consider, do I want to touch this person?
Let me ask you, Jenna. So do you have the feeling, like, for example, I think one of the earlier callers described it, and I was kind of getting the notion that it's like if a chicken is roasted for a long time and the meat just falls off the bone, you know?
Oh, I'm gonna throw it.
So you think
is that what you think of?
So I don't feel like my skin's going to fall off.
Right.
I feel like it's more like a sensory thing for me, / I'm just like a freak of nature. I really thought I was alone, and like, I really feel like this is like a religious experience. Right.
Well,
now,
good. We're glad.
I'm not alone.
We're glad to give you comfort to know that you're but clearly not alone because the phones are lighting up. Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm a freak, but I'm not, like, as much of a freak as, like, I...
You're not the only freak.
You're not the only freak.
Yep.
But we know not to call to you if we're drowning at the beach.
You know what this
is? Yeah, definitely don't hit me up if you're drowning. I'm all for it. I'll jump right in.
All right. Thanks, Jenna. This may be for a conversation another time. But it's, you know, I have this ism, this thing, whatever, is phobia, and I think I'm alone. I've never heard of anybody else having this issue. A confession of sorts.
Well,
the ASMR thing. My entire up into adulthood thought I was the only one that got this sort of sensory from certain sounds, and it turns out there's a whole community of people out there.
Yeah,
and it's got to be weird when you. When you were first experiencing it, were you timid to tell people about it?
Of course, yes. It just seemed silly.
Sexual and perverted.
No, it did not seem sexual and perverted. It seemed dumb, and nobody's going to understand that. Nobody's going to relate to that, so I would never say anything. Now, Casey, on the other hand, is the type of person that would freely say, hey, I like that, you know, or whatever.
Hey, when I used to climb the pole, it...
and it would get you aroused.
It would get me off.
Yeah.
Well, not your average listener that was here that was allergic to water. After we had her on, a father emailed us, and his daughter has the same thing.
Really?
And and he didn't realize that, you know, it's just odd that there was somebody else, you know, in the same neighborhood.
I would have to imagine if you had something like that or like this particular phobia. We've had at least five people say they thought they were the only ones. And you hear something like this, it's got to be, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now there, you know, support groups on Facebook and all that stuff. Yeah.
By the way, did you guys hear what the last caller had said right before she was hanging up? It got glossed over a little bit.
About the animals?
Yeah, she said if an animal was drowning, I would go right in.
They're fur covered.
Yeah, they're fur covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the pruny skin on skin. And that's actually with Kristen Bell, that's what skeeves her out.
Okay, let me go to, I have a guy here, it's Christian. Hi, Christian, you're on the air.
Hey, no, sorry, it's Omdi.
Two Omdis in one morning.
In one day.
Come on,
amazing.
Omdi.
What's up, buddy?
All right, so mine is a little different. Mine is specifically in the shower or actually in a pool as well, is the towel feeling on the pruny fingers. I feel like it's going to rip the skin off of my fingers.
There you go.
Fall off, and I feel like I'm going to vomit.
So, Omdi, what I just said to the last caller about overly cooked chicken coming off a bone, is that what it feels like to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%, Steve. Yeah.
All right.
Feels
okay.
Like that. And also, when the towel gets in between your fingernail and the skin, I can't handle it.
When has the towel ever gotten between your fingernail and your skin?
When you're moving your hand across, just the texture.
Interesting. All right, so maybe I can relate to this on some level. You guys familiar with like a chamois?
Yes.
Really fine.
Yeah.
If my hands are wet and I use that to dry off with, it just doesn't feel right.
You're not into it.
Doesn't feel right.
Doesn't make you vomit, though. Doesn't make you nauseous. No.
But the chamois doesn't really absorb a lot of water, you know what I mean? Or it just seems too fine. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
So fine, don't you agree?
So fine.
Well, like the microphone.
If you get upset, listen to your perverted sounds.
Perverted.
I brought, as a diver, they were called Sammies. Do you remember Sammies?
Yeah.
I brought a Sammy with me to the Grand Canyon last year. And so it was like.
A good idea.
It was a great idea. Everybody on the boat was using it. They were like, man, this is like the best thing that anybody brought for the entire. Because.
You're now king of the boat.
I was kind of, you know. Viceroy, at least.
Preston, the microfiber, like cleaning cloths, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like
maybe that's less a chamois and more that's what I'm talking about.
Shimmy.
I get it.
A shimmy, if you will. Marissa, can you put Michelle on? Can you tell her to stop talking? Put her on hold, please.
How do you know she's talking?
Yeah, exactly.
She's awake, right?
She's breathing.
I stopped calling Preston's house. When I needed to talk to Preston,
just
on the
off
chance that Rochelle would answer.
Listen, Rochelle needs to be at the other end of a suicide line because she will make you feel great.
Uh-huh.
She's
everyone in your family will be there before you have a chance to do it.
I came home the like 2 weeks ago, Preston, when we did the golf outing with McElhenney. And I hear Claire up on the front porch, and she's laughing and laughing. It's going on and on and on and laughing. I go, it's got to be Rochelle.
Yeah. All right, well, she's on the line. Hey, honey.
Hello, how are you?
Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
What did you
unzip.
Honey, there are other people listening.
Yeah, seriously.
your son woke me up at 4:30 this morning texting me, and so now you're calling.
Oh. I said, don't call Rochelle because it's 6:30 in the morning in Missouri. And then Marissa goes, well, I was texting her, so she's already up.
Oh.
So I said, all right, go ahead and call her.
All right, so what did you want to ask?
Oh, here's what I want to ask. So, Rochelle, we're on this conversation. We were talking about people have this phobia if they're in the pool too long and their fingers get all pruney and they don't like to touch things. And there's a lot of people calling in and say that they have the same thing. And I was relating how you never like to go in the pool. And I was curious if you relate to that. Is that why you don't like getting in the pool for extended amounts of time?
No, I like the hot water of the hot tub. It has nothing to do with. If I'm going to be taking that time, I want to be just chilling in the hot tub.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is like, I feel like we're on a sex line.
Woof. That's my gal. She's got big boobs, too.
Yeah. She has giant boobs.
All right. All right. So it has nothing to do with that. Because I was thinking out loud, I was like, I wonder if Shell has that same thing, and that might be part of the issue, but it's not. Okay. All right. Go back to bed, hon.
All right, love you, bye.
All right, love you, too. Bye-bye. All right, so.
She's using her pillow talk voice.
Yeah.
You didn't ask her about moisturizing her boobs, though.
I did not. I should have.
Get her back in the line!
Let me see here. Several calls coming up. Which one should I go to? Who's been on hold for a little while here? I will go to, let me go to Rich, because he's got the similar issue. Hi, Rich, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Dude, you guys are talking about this, and I'm starting to cringe. Like, I got to pull over. I'm going to throw up. I've never had this problem before, but you're talking about it. And I have, like Preston, I do have a pool, but now I don't even want to go near it.
Oh, my God.
So you didn't even realize that you have this issue.
No, but I swear to God.
He's going to puke.
Oh. I swear to God, I'm pulling all over. I'm nauseous, and I got to go.
He's got to go. All right, so he's...
That was it.
I don't know if he's legit or not.
It doesn't matter.
I love it. let's see. Wow, a lot of calls here. All right, let me go to Jocelyn. Jocelyn, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what's up, Joss?
My husband, he's had this thing since he was a baby. His mom told me that he used to cry in the bathtub, beg for lotion to put on his hands.
No kidding.
Pruny hands. I don't even know if it did anything, but
so when he was a kid where you would not, you really haven't had time to build up weird phobias. Mm. He would ask for lotion to cover his hands, and you don't even know if it relates directly to the pruny thing. It was just an issue with his hands in the water.
Well, no, he didn't want. Once his hands would get pruny, he would beg for the lotion, and now to this day, he puts lotion on his hands as soon as he gets out of the shower, and will not wash dishes because of the prudiness on his hands.
Huh. Preston, it's funny. I used to keep a woman in a pit in my basement. She would never
use the lotion.
The lotion on.
That's all she had to do.
Did you send any down to her?
This dog barking incessantly. I'm trying to listen to my electric dance music.
And all she had to do was put it in the basket.
That's all I was asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to make a coat.
Somebody going back to the thank you, whoever texted in this. Oh, Porterhouse. Look at the wax buildup in these shoes. I want these buffed and wiped with a fine chamois. Thank you. And hang on a second here. Peggy can relate to the chamois thing. Hi, Peggy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Preston. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I was washing windows on Saturday, and my hands were in the bucket, with all the wet stuff all over them. And I spilled something. I went to grab the chamois to wipe up what I spilled.
Yeah.
And I almost started crying because
Peggy,
Peggy, she's cursing. She's
Peggy,
so crazed.
On the air, Peggy.
Big F bombs.
You can't
on my
that
wet
word.
Effing hands.
Dropped a huge F-bomb.
Thank you. She sounded so provincial up to that.
She did.
My wet
I'm acting. Cleaning the windows, and I'm getting the bucket, and it went all over my effing hand. Yeah. But so that's is that the pointer freak for you, Preston, on the shanties?
No, it's not that bad. It just feels a little strange. Not to where, like, I'm not going to go near that thing, or that makes me sick. But I was just like, okay, I can kind of semi-relate to what people are saying about that sensation on your fingertips.
I don't have any textural equivalent to that. I can't relate to that.
Nothing slimy or nothing.
Well, you know what? There's foods, one thing,
Steve.
With foods.
Yeah.
We talked about this. The notion, and I can start to tense
look
it
at him, he is.
Yeah. If you're ever eating a popsicle and your teeth slide across the wood.
Right.
But I think that's probably.
I would much rather that than, like, metal.
The fork.
Oh, on your teeth?
I can't do it.
Wow.
I can't.
So how do you bother me. Neither
so
one of those.
So you put metal in your mouth all the time. Uh-huh. How do you do it? Use your lips.
Mm-hmm.
Not
every
your
time.
Teeth.
Lipper.
I'm a lipper.
You're a lipper.
What about the Yeti, Casey? The metal cup that we drink out of. Are you all right with that?
Yes, because my teeth don't touch it.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as my teeth don't touch it, I'm fine.
Okay. How about going to the dentist then?
Oh, I can't.
It's got to be tough, right?
I used to be a little pussy about it.
Now you're a big pussy.
Now
I'm a big
pussy.
No, I would have them. Gas.
I didn't mean to snort.
It was so easy, but so good.
I would have them gas me. For,
really?
For cleanings and stuff
for
like
just
that.
Just a cleaning?
Yeah. Well, all right, so it wasn't my idea. I was being such a little bitch about it that the hygienist was like, do you want me to go get the gas for this? I said, well, yes, I do. And so she did that, and then I stopped doing the gas, and then I tried to. They use, like, water to clean your teeth now. I can't do that either.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I just
don't you stop acting like a pussy?
Wait a minute. Why not water?
There is a really, really high-pitched sound that goes with that.
Oh, so it's a sound thing.
It's okay. Yeah.
I gotcha.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
They work together in concert.
I am going to go to one more call, and then we got to take a break. And we'll have to sometime down the road do the people chiming in with a thing that they didn't think that anybody else had,
it
had
might
issues
be, might
with.
Be liberating.
I'll go to Joe. Joe, you're on the air. Good morning.
That's Hooks.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
So I'm going to take it one step above the prunes when your skin starts peeling from it.
Yeah.
That freaks me out.
Oh, if it actually starts peeling.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had it. Well, I guess
what
maybe.
What about after, like, a sunburn? Does that freak you out?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. But
that's like the bottom of the feet that I'm talking about. Like, you know, if you've scuffed up your feet from walking around with no shoes on, you get, like, it kind of peels a little bit. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You should see the bottom of my wife's feet right now. Oh, my God.
Do you ever chew the skin off?
I had
that's a yes.
In a very freaky way, one time, Kathy, I had this bizarre peeling of the bottom of my feet. It happened out of nowhere. I took a picture of it. I don't have it with me.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was really strange. But the peeling thing, in fact, I used to burn regularly, sunburn as a kid.
Yeah.
And I'd get these big patches where eventually the skin would peel
like
off.
Like
I would try to see how much intact I could peel off.
I like that.
Yeah, I didn't mind that at all.
Yeah. It was kind of cool. It was actually like if you ever, like a pizza cheese burns.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't realize I was flirting heavily with skin cancer.
Oh, no, but skin cancer is very fun.
Right.
Yeah. Preston, how did you fix that problem with your feet? Because my wife's feet are really, really bad.
Well, this just came and went.
Yeah,
it was bizarre. It was a one-time occurrence. All the skin peeled off, and then it was like, after that, it was fine. So I was molting, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, fill your beach shoes with pudding, Preston. That's what I do.
Ooh.
Squishes.
I feel great.
Yeah, I don't know, Case.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, if you guys want to make me vomit, get some tinfoil and start chewing on that, and that will make me.
Chews on tinfoil?
Bring in some tinfoil.
That would be pretty bad.
No, don't.
You're not going to chew on it.
Would you do it?
I would do it, of course.
Wait.
Chew on tip. I don't know.
Whoa. Kathy's like, whoa.
Maybe in the kitchen, Marissa.
There's a tin foil.
That's out of the trash can. Don't do that. That'll make
Steve's gonna eat it. Here he goes. Casey, look at him. Look at him.
Why?
Look at him.
Why are you doing it?
Look at him.
Oh, I don't like it either.
Oh, my God.
Steve is chewing on a big ball of foil.
Casey can't even look at him.
He covered his eyes.
I just went all chills down my arm.
I smacked him. I'm like, open your eye.
I'll tell you what. And I completely understand where you're at. Because my brother, to this day, now my brother is a police sergeant. He responds to crimes in progress and life and death situations. Yeah. If someone rubs styrofoam. He can't take it.
Wait, Steve, is your mouth okay after that?
Totally fine.
Okay, all right.
I mean, our dinner table growing up was just so funny because my brother couldn't stand the sounds of slurping and the sounds of, like, you know, like crunching, chewing and stuff like that. So if I wanted to annoy him,
I would do that.
But you know what? On the auditory level, you can understand.
That's a condition.
I can understand that more. Because this is totally alien to me. The tactile thing is a lot more alien.
So, by the way, that is an actual condition, the people that can't stand hearing other people chew and eat. And, Steve, yes, the ped egg is great for you.
Yes.
Food, by the way. I did want to back that up.
Yes.
All right, we got to take a break. But I don't know if we'll continue this today or not. We'll discuss off air.
All right.
We do have the bizarre file coming up in a little while. I do want to remind you, Marissa's got an appearance this weekend. She wants everybody to be aware because it's for the official Supermarket of the President, Steve Show, Acme in Doylestown. Marissa will be there from 2 to 4, and you can come by and sample some of Marissa's favorite beers because she's going to be doing Marissa's mug shots. That's right. In some of Acme's, you can actually buy beer and wine. So she's going to be doing that. Just want to give you a heads up on it. We'll come back in a second, get into the bizarre file as if this wasn't already that. Mm. But we'll be right back.
MMR, everything that rocks, even a little thrash metal. Get ready for Slayer, July 31st at the Pavilion at Montage Mountain in Scranton.
Bring it on! From a lacerated sky!
MMR has an exclusive, rare opportunity for you to meet the band. You get a hotel room for the night, and you get VIP parking and free water park passes, and you get pit passes for the show, a signed Slayer guitar, and you meet the band. Here's how to enter.
Post a video doing your best
Slayer!
To Twitter or Instagram. Use hashtag WMMR Slayer Contest. Here's the catch. You gotta do it in a very unslayer-like location. And don't piss off your neighbors or the police.
Entry deadline Thursday, July 12th. Complete details at WMMR.com. Tickets are on sale now via LiveNation.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah. All right, so the Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Aww.
Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. All right, we're going to start with an unfortunate story all the way around for everyone involved. A man returned to his New Jersey home Monday night to find both his wife and her lover dead in the garage after they apparently died of carbon monoxide poisoning while having sex.
Yes, I heard about this.
The 39-year-old woman and her 56-year-old lover, who sources believe was her mechanic, were discovered just before 9 p.m. Monday at a house in Newark. Sources say that the wife and the mechanic were having sex in a car in the garage when they were both killed by the poison gas. The husband came home later to discover their bodies, and law enforcement said they believe the wife was paying for her car work by having sex with the mechanic.
Well, there you go. That's a great arrangement. But of course, you think a mechanic would know to turn the car off.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, he works in a garage, for crying out loud.
He should be aware of that. Not a very good mechanic.
When officers arrived, they found the pair inside a running vehicle in a closed garage. They were both pronounced dead.
They said he was wedged in her tailpipe, Preston.
The police said that the incident was under investigation, but appeared to be an accident.
So what's your feeling when you walk in? Obviously, you care about your wife, and yet you're seeing this, and yet, you know, it's got to be conflicted, especially if you enjoy that car.
I think the shock of the death would be overwhelming.
Yes.
And then after a while.
Wait a second.
Hang on here.
What's going on?
Ooh, yeah. A man came close to death on Wednesday when he went to look at a car for sale and came face to face with an aggressive bull. It was a pain that Jeff King's
time. Are you going to buy this car or what?
that Jeff King's time in the Army didn't prepare him for. He said, I remember feeling the horn going through my right side.
Jeez.
And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground close to a bush, and I crawled between the bush and a house, and the bull stood over me and snorted for about 20 minutes. King says his memory is hazy, but he remembers being gored twice before someone stopped and honked his horn.
Fortunately, the Duke boys were in town.
He said he didn't see me, I think. He had seen the bull. King says that he called out for him to help while he hid. He was
that bull talks!
Rushed to the hospital, and after 3 hours of surgery, is recovering from wounds on both sides of his stomach. Too graphic to include in the story. He said, I've never hurt this bad. I've had broken legs, everything, and I've never hurt this bad. Never, ever.
You have to imagine that the horn, as it's traveling through your body, is ripping everything up.
Yeah, King says that the doctor told him that his belly fat saved him from even worse injury. A family member told him that he had an angel there to make sure that he didn't bleed to death. His biggest focus now is recovery. Doctors told King that they may not know the full extent of his injuries for about 6 months or so.
Did you see the footage, Preston, of the matador getting scalped by the bull?
Oh. No.
Whoa.
The bull caught him in the side of the head with the horn and rips the flap of flesh off. Whoa. And it's hanging off the side of his face. Show that to the kids, Ken.
That's gnarly. this is a messed up footage, and I wonder if you've seen this, Steve, because I watched it yesterday. A jury has watched traumatic video footage of the moment that two people were hit with an axe inside a Sydney convenience store at 2 o'clock in the morning. Evie Amati, who's 26, is on trial over the incident. Customers Ben Rimmer and Sharon Hacker were struck with the axe at the store and suffered severe injuries, while a third man, Shane Redwood, narrowly avoided getting hit on the street outside by wielding his backpack as a shield. Amati has pleaded not guilty to six charges, including two of wounding or causing grievous bodily harm. Her barrister argued that she was experiencing mental illness at the time. The footage was played to the jury. It shows Rimmer entering the store. You guys don't want to, Casey, you definitely don't want to see it. It shows Rimmer entering the store. She's walking around with a full-size axe.
Why doesn't anybody say, hey, you with the axe?
I think somebody does.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's only three people in the whole place. So Amati is seen entering the store and walking around the shelves in footage before having a brief conversation with Rimmer as Hacker makes a purchase. She is then seen swinging the axe, hitting Rimmer in the face with it.
Oh, my God.
And then Hacker in the back of the head. You can't believe it. She just takes a full-on two-handed huge swing with this full-size axe. We're looking at the video footage. They talk for a while. You're going to need to fast forward through this.
Man. Do they die?
They don't die.
Okay.
A second swing misses Hacker, but partially cut the strap of her bag. After Amati exits the store, Rimmer can be seen standing up with blood dripping from his face.
Oh, they cut it.
Her barrister said that there was no doubt that the footage showed Amati's body carrying out the attack, but the question for the jury is whether her mind, brain, or soul holds any legal or moral responsibility of it. It's pretty wild, man. It broke, you know, their nose, cheek, eye socket, all this stuff. So it's pretty scary footage to watch. Here you go.
They cut it out. But you can see she's taking a pretty full swing, and she's standing right in front of him.
And then she does it to the person standing to the other side, too. It's messed up. So anyhow, she's going to go to jail, I would hope. All right, we'll do another story.
There's a lot of goring and face cutting today.
Yeah, let's see if this one is a little... Yeah, this one's great. All right,
how about kitten smiling?
No, this one's in Vancouver, Washington. Two business owners received an early morning call from law enforcement Sunday after a burglar broke into their escape room and couldn't find his way out.
The burglar got trapped in the escape room.
And he called 911.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Deputies say the suspect, identified as Rye Wardlaw, damaged the escape room and couldn't escape. So he called police for help. Rob Bertrand and his wife Tamara own the escape room. Rob and Tamara said that Wardlaw did so much damage to the back exit door that the escape room that he couldn't open it and get out. They said, Tamara said, apparently he didn't know how to use the lock on the front door and was stuck. So he called 911 and told law enforcement that he was calling from the escape room because his home was being burglarized.
Mm-hmm.
Deputies then called Rob and Tamara. Deputies say Wardlaw ran into trouble when he tried to escape. He broke the back door knob, panicked, and called 911 several times, by the way. And he provided a fake address to deputies, so they responded to the escape room where he was calling from. And
I love it.
That's great.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. So I had mentioned Dunkin' Donuts was our sponsor of the B-File, and we have a very cool thing that's going on and a special announcement concerning Dunkin' Donuts.
We've actually been waiting for this because we had sort of a tease of this coming.
So we have the senior field marketing manager of Dunkin' Donuts who is here. It's Jackie Keown.
Yay!
Who we've met before. Hey, Jackie, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So what are you so excited to tell us about this morning?
We are very excited to announce that tomorrow, which is National Friday, Dunkin' Donuts will be celebrating with our new donut fries all day long.
Donut fries.
Donut
introduced
fries.
Officially. Now, there hasn't been like a soft rollout. Tomorrow they become available, correct?
Well, they've been available since July 1st, but tomorrow we're celebrating. All of our restaurants will be selling 5 donut fries for
$2. Oh, okay.
So that's a special deal. I was actually telling Jackie that I was at the Doylestown Dunkin' Donuts a couple of weeks ago. And
you saw them there?
Yeah, they offered them
you
to me.
You son of a bitch.
But I came in for just coffee. I needed coffee and I didn't get any donut fries. I haven't tried them yet.
All right.
But we have them here.
I saw them out there.
In our green room. And so that's the special deal for tomorrow. $2?
Yep. And they are fantastic. Okay. They're Dunkin' Donuts twist on the classic fry. You can't get any better than that. Donuts meet French fries.
And there's cinnamon. Cinnamon.
Yeah, tossed in a cinnamon sugar.
Yeah.
And they're served warm, which is amazing.
Are they?
Ooh, I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no negative. There's no con to cinnamon. It works with everything. So, but I'm going to have to warm them up then. I want to try it in the real way.
As if you had gotten it right from the store?
Right from the store.
Okay.
They're actually warm right now.
Are they?
Go out there and try
them. Damn it.
Right. Somebody bring some in right now.
Yes.
Steve needs them stat.
Cinnamon fry boy, now.
Bring those fries in here and let us try them. So this is all over the Philadelphia area or
it's
New Jersey?
It's all over the country.
All over the country.
Yep.
All right, Steve, right there behind you.
Robbie
Hanjavi right. has a fry.
Our cinnamon fry boy.
Yeah. All right, let me try one. I will have one.
Mm-hmm. I'll just take the whole thing.
So they're made with our buttery croissant donut.
What? Oh.
You know, into five seriously? Delicious
I'm a big fan of its Big Daddy counterpart. So,
oh,
yeah.
Robbie!
What happened?
Did you drop them?
Yes. No, he's
right. Oh, man.
Mm. Oh, my God, these are
You're crying. You're actually crying.
No, you've heard me. I was like, earlier this morning, I had some kind of moment, and I just had Wait, was that it?
Yeah, it's
Hang
it.
On. Play it again. I'm not even going to say because we have an advertiser here what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But it comes from a woman.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
This is, these are wonderful.
All right. Okay, so $2 and that starts tomorrow, correct?
You can get them today, but tomorrow we'll be celebrating.
Tomorrow's
all
a special.
Day. Tomorrow.
Right. You can walk in today, you know, and certainly purchase them. But
absolutely.
Oh my God.
You may want to save up your loot and purchase tomorrow.
And they'll be here all month long. So come in today, tomorrow. Help us celebrate National Friday with
That's
our
great.
New donut
Will this
donut
be added
fries.
to the menu permanently, do you think, or is it...
We don't think it's going to be permanent, but we're going to wait and see how the customer responds.
You know what? These would be easier to eat in the car than donuts, I think.
It does make a big difference.
I have a $50 donut, Dunkin' Donuts gift card for caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up with that right now, and tomorrow is Friday. So make sure that you stop by your Dunkin' Donuts to try these out. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thank you.
Great to see you, Jackie Keown.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We'll give away that gift card, and we shall return with some more goodness for you, my friends. Stay put.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.
If someone wants to yank a guy's drink, I say let him.
Yeah, let him.
Let him.
By the way, our Belly Flop Championship coming up, it's a week from today, and 6 to 8 p.m. Valley Forge Beach Poolside Club, Valley Forge Casino Resort. It is free of charge. Come and see our warriors, our competitors, battle head-to-head and the challenge to see who can flop in the biggest way possible.
You know, it is sort of an aquatic cardboard classic in
it
a
is.
Way. I mean, it's a little bit more chill because it's not you're not dealing with 120, 130 entries. You know, we keep it lean and mean.
Yeah, about 10.
But it's a cool sort of happy hour vibe with a lot of insanity going on in the pool.
So that is next Thursday, just a heads up, and it's free. So like I said the other day, if you've been looking for something different to do, this is it. So it's from 6 to 8 p.m.
Valley Beach Poolside Club at Valley Forge Casino Resort. So just a heads up on that.
And sorry. It's just as funny that there were emails going around this week about Cardboard Classic 2019.
Yes, already amongst here in the office, already starting to talk about it. So
when 2018 is mentioned, I see myself looking through a snow-covered windshield.
Oh, man.
Driving 8 hours back.
Yep.
8 hours back.
That was an anomaly.
Mm-hmm. It'll be one for the record books, and we were all there because our events are like that. Be a part of your personal history.
Exactly. And then another thing, we're doing the comb-over intervention. If there's a person in your life who is holding tragically onto hair that's just never going to be flattering because it just goes around the outside of their head. We're talking about that big, big, bald, you know, lagoon, and they're hanging on to all the hair around the outside. We want to shave it off. Our friends from Shaving Grace are going to do this. We're going to do it on the 25th of this month. And if you know someone you would like to nominate for this intervention, email Nick at WMMR.com with their information.
Bold on top, ponytail. Get rid of it.
Yes.
Big Larry Fine, unless you're Larry Fine, get rid of it.
Yep.
Comb over flap, where you have to judge where the wind is blowing when you walk down the street, get rid of it. You will feel so free once you do it. It's so liberating.
And they can always grow it back.
So, you can always grow it back.
But we'll pamper them a little bit while they're here. Yes. So make sure you get in touch with Nick about that. So, you know what? Many times we overlook things. I mean, we do have singles mixers like that from time to time. But we are all here in beautiful, productive, wonderful relationships with significant others. But there are some people who are starting new relationships. And sometimes we don't address their particular needs. And I saw this article from Women's Health Magazine.
God, you're always reading that thing.
9 questions to ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond.
So sort of a pre-interview?
Now, this is after you've...
An interrogation.
No. No, you're in a relationship, but it's not like, you know, we're married. I mean, we know who we're with, and this is a person who you want to get a little bit deeper with, and you went there. Not necessarily single, but you're beginning a relationship. So they have these 9 questions you can ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond.
Now you're chuckling because you must.
They're stupid.
Okay. I think there's so much, you know, there. It's almost like the days of the snake oil salesman, Preston. I think there are so many love gurus and people that do this sort of thing and these kind of articles that are sort of the bread and butter of these magazines.
Are there any hidden nuggets in any of these?
So many of these things, Nick, are just sort of axiomatic. Like you would know them anyway. But I'm curious to see what this is, if it's making you chuckle here. Go in chronological order because Bill likes that.
I know. I'll just go in the order that these questions are presented. So here we go. And these are expert-backed questions.
Do we know the expert?
They have their
names. It's Joe Expert's the guy's name.
No, there's a variety of names here. But instead of the same old, how was your day, these are things that you can ask your significant
other. Why is your day?
Well, how about this? If you won the lottery, where would you travel and why? Now, come on.
So you're talking to make your relationship deeper.
That's a bad one.
Okay. My wife would punch me right in the face if I asked her.
But that's a question you might ask somebody anyway. Look, hey, if we won the lottery,
where would we go?
Honey, I've always wanted to ask you.
You know where I'd go? I'd go to you.
Yeah.
Because that's who I want to be. Because I love you. I'd take a trip to you.
Yeah.
All right, but
I'd take my boat to Tuna Town.
Let's just entertain this for a second. If it is a new relationship.
I love you.
No, but say somebody is like completely loves traveling and wants to go to these exotic places, and you have somebody who's not really into that. They don't like flying.
It's a way to find out.
It's a way to find out if you're a match.
Okay. So you know what?
You're right.
And put this in perspective while you get carried away with this sort of bachelor stuff. Yesterday I was vomiting in the afternoon after coming home from work.
You were?
I got sick, yes. And my wife immediately darted out, picked up some Pepto-Bismol and ginger ale, and that's, you know, and that's love. You know, that's, you never, even though she didn't want, who wants to be hugged by someone who's just vomiting, but still.
Get away from me.
So remember, these are the important things, but finding out where they want to go if they won the lottery, I guess that's good too.
No, but you're right, Kath. I have met a couple of people who are with significant others, husband and wife now, that they don't like to go anywhere. And to me, that is
crazy. One person,
if it works for both of them, though.
One person in particular, they were having a conversation. Oh, I would love to go to Paris. And he goes, oh, yeah. Pulls up a computer. Here you go. You're in Paris now. You know what I mean? And to...
That was enough.
I can look up Paris on the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Listen, my wife, I told her a long time ago, do not be hampered by our schedule does not allow us, you know, listen, we have to do what we have to do. We're beholden to ratings and so on and so forth. But I said, do not be beholden to that. And so I said, go travel if you have friends or you want to travel with family members. And she does. She loves to travel. I don't need it as much as she does. And we found a happy medium.
If you can find that happy medium, that's fine.
That's fine. But I mean, to totally deny it that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. My mom and dad, they've been married for 40 years. My dad loves the beach, islands, sitting, relaxing. My mom needs to be where there's like history, like Europe. She likes to tour the buildings and the, you know, different things like that. They're complete opposite when it comes to traveling. Not sure that they had this conversation 40
right
years
beforehand.
Ago.
Beforehand, yeah. All right, so that's a question.
I never wanted a daughter.
I want to back up.
I never wanted a daughter.
I want to back up a second. Somebody texted in and says, wait, Marissa isn't single? We don't know what Marissa
is. We don't know.
She's not single.
We don't know what Marissa
is. I believe there is a young man in her life.
We'll ask her that.
Okay.
All right.
But that's her own.
See what kind of answer you get. Yeah, that's
She's not single. She's not.
Well, she won't. She's not putting labels on anything, right?
That's her right.
She doesn't want to talk.
It's her, yes.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, she's grabbing
her microphone.
All right. This is just fun to watch you guys debate it. I'm sure my mom's listening. She's yelling at the radio right now.
Mm-hmm. He's handsome.
I'm seeing somebody. There you go.
Okay. Oh, my God. She just said it.
It is out there.
My friend.
Yeah. Well, I said to her like a couple weeks ago, I said, you can stop calling him your friend now. She laughed.
I think Marissa... out of just she likes to vet a little bit and make sure that somebody is worthy of the time.
2 years or something like that.
Yeah. She knows it's right when she goes home and there's a cheese wedge on her front door. Yeah.
I always bust her chops because she's likes to keep things private.
Yeah.
But when you don't like ask her about things, she's like, well, why didn't you ask me? Yeah. Because you don't give us any answers. Well,
it's so hard in this world to like debate what's going on air and what's not going on air because our whole lives are on the radio.
What I have learned is if you don't want it on air, you simply say, I don't want you guys to talk about this on the air.
Or you do what I do and just stay at home and puke.
Yeah.
Well, for 14 years, I forgot to ask you to say that part, so I'm trying to make up for it now.
All right, I've only gotten through one.
All right, I'm sorry. Let's go. Okay. We're holding back the list.
Number two, if you could be anywhere in the world this moment, where would you be and what would you be doing?
I love you. I'd be right with you.
The relationship expert and psychotherapist.
I'd be hot air ballooning over the Kilauea volcano where we had chocolate-covered strawberries.
This expert says we want our partners to be authentically curious about who we are on our deepest levels, but asking Bay to share his or her innermost thoughts,
you lost me at Bay,
and desires over appetizers can be a little intense. Keep it light and fun while increasing the energy and excitement by starting with an icebreaker question like this.
I agree. How well do you know your wife and her?
Very well.
I do know my. My wife is wonderful on so many levels, but over the course of 21 years, you learn things, and you know there's still some mystery with her.
All right, so here's the third thing to ask, and it is: remember when we ... insert sexy
killed that hobo?
No, insert sexy memory here.
Oh, remember when we inserted something in our sexy memory?
Yeah. Yeah. Rev it up by telling your partner the moments that you've enjoyed most, asking them to share their most memorable.
That dirty Sanchez.
And then together bounce around ideas of new tantalizing adventures that you would both delight in.
It was one hot Carl. It was the hottest of Carls.
Well,
go look up what hot Carl is.
Or don't.
Maybe make sure you watch a video.
Yeah.
You don't want to read a description. You want to see the video.
Make sure
it.
Your boss isn't standing behind you.
This is not only will
I'll
this.
Never forget that blue waffle.
Not only will this liven up pillow talk, it'll also help to reinforce that sexual fire that is still burning in your relationship.
I love you.
All right, here you go. Try this one out.
what makes you feel connected or disconnected to me during sex?
I gotta go.
Could you imagine opening up that can of worms?
What makes you feel connected to me?
Not attractive in any way and not even remotely sexually arousing.
Well, what about, how about this? What makes you feel connected to me during sex? My penis?
Yeah. The fact that
we're That's connected.
The connection.
What about eye contact, Preston?
Oh.
I love looking in your eyes. I can see it in the mirror. I can see them in the mirror.
Face the mirror, please.
I can see them in the bureau mirror.
By the way,
remember that?
What was that? Remember that movie with De Niro? The
This Boy's Life.
This Boy's Life.
He can only do it from behind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So Steve, you don't have this problem because you only have pretend children.
Yes.
But sometimes I've heard this that a lot of sound is made by the bed. Mm-hmm. And headboards and walls and stuff like that.
Sure.
So do you guys ever have to go, like, sideways on the bed so that you're, you know what I'm saying? You know
so that
saying?
The bed doesn't rock and so smack against the wall.
My bed doesn't make any noise, so we don't have to, or my wife, so, okay. But we make our wife. Own noise.
Okay.
There are verbal noises.
That's what the intercom's for.
Yes, as we accidentally. No, we're pretty certain that we gave it away the other day. We snuck off. You've got to sneak off. When you've got three kids in the house, you have to. They either have to be gone or you've got to sneak off and try to do it. And it's hard to find that time that you're not interrupted by someone. And sure enough, man, so we go into my bedroom. My wife and I have separate bedrooms. We go into my bedroom, which is smaller, and the bed is closer to the door. So you're actually risking a little bit with noise. And Casey, there's also...
Yeah.
Just general flesh smack.
Smacking around.
There's an applause.
There's applause.
There's a natural applause.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I hear someone walking in the hallway, and sure enough, I see a shadow go by underneath the door. You know, you can see just a little bit underneath the door. No, we had the door locked.
Oh, okay.
But immediately, it was my daughter, and we knew it, and we stopped, and oh, God. Can I say this?
Go ahead.
I was almost there.
I was right on the edge.
And it's like getting back a career. It's so hard. Yeah.
It's so difficult. You know, when you burn a bridge.
Exactly.
No, but anyway,
the Bifrost.
Yeah. Noise is definitely an issue when it comes to. How did we get on this? How do you make me feel connected or disconnected?
Because we
sex.
Said eye contact, and then Steve said something about a mirror.
You started thinking about kids.
It certainly does not hurt to you know. I think we talked about this before. Say what you like and say what you don't like, and be open to hearing that.
All right. So this expert says these kinds of questions help people put words to what they want and how they want to feel.
What's this sticky stuff?
It taps into your core longings.
Gotcha.
By asking that
question. All right. There's legitimacy there. I don't know if that's the way you ask it, though. It's a little clinical.
All right. This is a little different direction.
Where's that sound coming from?
No, where's that effing sound coming from? If you were able
where's that sound coming from?
If you were able to work in any other job for a year, what would it be?
Hmm.
Questions like this open up the conversation to what your significant other is secretly dreaming about, and it also helps you revisit a part of their past you may not have talked about in those early days. Oh. If you were able to work in any other job for a year, what would it be? So what would you guys say? Any other job?
I would do probably some sort of event planning, wedding planning.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I can't think of anything I'd want to do. I guess be a musician or something, but I've already
professional gurner.
A gurner?
Yeah.
Making those faces?
Yeah.
You get paid for that?
Yeah, of course.
Some people do.
It's the big secret. It's like Bitcoin. It's the next big thing.
Well, bitter beer face guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the one.
I mean, if I had the ability, I'd, you know, be like a golf pro or something like that, but I don't have that ability. Could, so,
what about yes, working at a golf course? Would you?
Yeah. What about the ranger?
Ranger?
Golf ranger?
Drive around all day?
No, an army ranger.
You guys need to pick it up a little bit. I don't know. Just so I could play free golf. It would probably work at a golf course. There you go.
Nick, what about you?
Like, honestly, if we won the lottery tomorrow and
No. It's what would your job be for a year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. If I could quit this job. I love this job. So this is, like, the dream job. But a travel agent, maybe? Something like that?
A travel agent?
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, and hopefully along with that, you get to actually travel and go to the places and talk about them.
How about like, a restaurant reviewer?
That'd be cool.
A critic. Ooh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wield a lot of power.
How about a dishwasher at a restaurant?
Yeah, you can stick your hand in the food trap.
Done that, yeah. And I'll tell you what. Pruned fingers.
Our captain, Dustin and Ben, when we did that river trip through the Grand Canyon last year, I was
yeah, you dug that.
That's pretty cool gig.
It was awesome.
Like a seasonal worker like that? Interesting.
Crab fisherman off Alaska.
No. All right, here you go. Here's another question to ask your significant other for an instantly deeper bond.
All right.
What's stressing you out the most this week?
What's stressing you out the most this week?
Yeah.
These dumb questions.
That's connecting with your partner and trying to understand them a little bit better, but it inherently is a stressful question.
I guess if you're the person causing the stress, yeah, that could be a little
you.
Bit.
Yeah. Well, do you know something? Inherently, questions are stress generating.
Right.
You learn that.
It's all questions, you and all your questions.
Questions generate stress. So, and I've learned that. That's why, you know, one of the pieces of advice I always impart is I never say to my wife, did you do this? It's always, should I do this?
Dude. I've tried that. You said that before, yeah. And I've tried that, and it doesn't work because it just says yes. Yeah, you do it.
Well, that's you have to be prepared to get that answer or just command him to do it.
Do you want me to scoop the litter?
Yeah. I do it with Steve every morning now.
Yep.
I go, should I make coffee?
I love you.
You know what, Steve? Years ago, when men are from Mars, yeah, women are from Venus, some of that stuff is actually very useful, and I've used some of it as well.
To learn not to fix things and to just understand.
Yeah, and so when you do, from a guy's perspective anyway, have a confrontation of sorts or have an issue, I have learned to shut up.
Shut up.
Just shut up. Up and let her talk.
Yes,
and then there are these magic words that you will not believe until you use it yourself, which are, well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
or how does that make you feel?
I hear you,
and oh my
God, I support you.
I haven't tried
to say
that.
I support you.
I haven't tried that.
And you know, the more that you do frame it that way, the way, and honestly, the reaction you'll get is much. No woman's asking, hey, you, fix this for me. No.
Takes effort, though, because sometimes you're fighting instinct.
It's
and
hard.
You, but also, if you're a protective person, I love my wife dear, as we all do. We love our partners dearly. Nick, you can't keep your hair. No. But that's part of the deal. You want to help make things better, but that doesn't make things better.
Yeah. I love you.
Well, no, I'm literally looking at a gay man right now. He's outside of the studio.
I'm literally looking at a gay man.
I thought you were
and I'm wondering...
how often are those words uttered?
I'm wondering how gay relationships compare and contrast compared to heterosexual relationships.
My guess is exactly the same, emotionally.
Okay, but you also, you're dealing with the same sex. Right?
That's an interesting...
All right, you want Steve to get on the mic? He's walking in here.
Yeah. Right. Come on in, Steve.
Steve McLean, who we've worked with
this
from
is the
day
gay man
one in our radio, in our Philadelphia radio career.
So would it be Men Are From Mars? Men Are From Mars?
Yes! Yeah.
All right, thank you for...
hey, Steve.
I just wanted donut fries.
You just want donut fries?
And here you are. You're the voice of gay America. This poor man just wants some Dunkin' Donuts.
Exactly.
Now you're going to have
to... What do you want to ask
He's going to have to give us a TED Talk now.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start and how to start, but I guess men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or however it goes. But when you're dealing with men are from Mars, men are from Mars, obviously you have... Everybody has the, you know, your own set and range of emotions and lines of thinking and everything like that, but...
Are there inherent issues because you're dealing with two?
Do you think it's easier? Do you think, I mean, because I'm sure you talk to men and women who are in heterosexual relationships. Do you think being in a long-term gay relationship is easier than a long-term heterosexual relationship?
No, because a relationship takes work,
yeah,
no matter what it is. And before we had been allowed to get married, yeah. and we had stayed together. And people say, well, you know, how do you stay together so long? And there's really only one answer is you don't leave.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, that's
how you stay together. You don't leave because when you leave each other, even for a night or a weekend, you can't work anything out.
Hey, were you ever in a relationship with a woman?
Well, I mean, dating in high school and stuff like that. Yeah.
But is there any comparison or was that just too early young. In your life?
Too young. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but that's salient advice you just gave, by the way, of just you make the commitment to work through it. You don't go running and you stay with it. And now there's some people who say it's work. If it's that much work, it's wrong.
Right.
But there is work involved. If you're sweating every time you see the person.
Part of the work in any relationship is like work on yourself.
Yes.
Like you're with someone else. So there's always like some level of compromise. It's not always going to be, you know, one way or another.
Right. So the other night I was sitting on the couch and my wife was sitting on the couch as well. And I could really go for a guy.
I could really go for a dude right now. Texas Steve.
And I was clearly.
How does that make you feel?
I was not in the mood to have a conversation and she was. And
you were wondering what it was because the word is guys traditionally have less spoken communications during the day, correct?
Well, I don't know, but I think that if the roles were reversed and I was in having a conversation and she clearly wasn't, I would get the message clear and go, okay, we're not talking right now. You're watching Handmaid's Tale and I'll just let you watch Handmaid's Tale. Now, with that said, this particular instance, I was not watching Handmaid's Tale. I was actually doing work. I had my laptop open. I was scheduling best of shows for, you know, a vacation that's coming up in the near future. And so I was like dialed in. I was, you know,
yep.
She just kept asking questions. I'm like, what? Do you know?
So would you have similar
situation? Question in there?
The question is.
Thank you.
Oh, man. This is going
on. Do guys exactly. just walk away and say, okay, I get it because I'm a guy?
I personally think this conversation is silly because a relationship is between two or more people.
Yes.
That it's a relationship. You have a working relationship. You have a love interest relationship. You have all kinds of relationships, and they don't work unless two people are compatible. And that's it. Peoples is peoples, goddammit.
Wow.
Whether you're gay, straight, whatever it happens to be.
Did we learn
it's
nothing?
It's a compatibility. Yeah, from the Muppets.
From the Muppets.
So, I don't know.
Take Manhattan.
All right.
Is that the one? It was Muppets Take Manhattan.
Muppets Take Manhattan. But yeah, so I think because, listen, there's no hard and fast rule for any relationship of any kind. And it's just, so there's so many nuances that.
Peoples is peoples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to speak for the gay community. And at the next meeting, I'll bring up if there's anything that I should come back with.
By the way, please let them know they've all earned their Dunkin' Donuts for today. So.
$2 Dunkin' Donut fries tomorrow, by the way.
All right.
Thank you, Steve McClain.
Thank you, Steve.
One of our oldest and bestest friends in the radio biz.
When people in general. He sees a gay man in the yard. That's Stevie's talking about. Mm.
Okay. Can I go back to this?
I think so.
All right. So 9 questions to ask your partner for an instantly deeper bond, and we're going to have the kind of zip right
through. God damn it.
What's your biggest goal for the next 10 years? You know, whatever.
to never have another conversation.
Have you ever had a 5-year or 10-year goal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I achieved it. I joined Chippendales.
I never thought of any of the future 5 years, 10 years until I had kids, and now I go, okay.
One of my original 5-year goals was when we started doing a morning show, was to obtain the number one rating spot and hold it for 5 years.
Wow, really? You had that goal?
I had that goal, and the reason being because my line of thinking was because. Last thing I want to do is move around from place to place. I want to have my roots in one spot, and my rationale when we started the show was if we could get to number one and we hold that spot for 5 years, no matter what happens, even if the ratings went away after that, we would still be employable because we'd be valuable to advertisers, and I could still keep my roots here in Philadelphia and stay working in Philadelphia.
You have viability in the market.
Yeah, exactly.
We've seen it happen time and time again, and that was part of the deal. Yeah,
so we ended up doing that. Threefold.
We're happy about that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You kidding me?
And then we also, with that, you never take it for granted. You always, you know, you always reinvent the show and always do as much as you can to spice things up.
Yep. So that's what
the comb over challenge,
right?
Or the intervention.
But that was, you asked if I had a 5 or 10 year plan. Yeah. That was the only one that I've ever really
come up with. And then, of course, now we have a retirement plan and things like that, which are more practical, you know. So,
isn't it crazy they think that you could be a grandpa in five years, 10 years?
You could already be a grandpa in 1 year.
To be honest, I never thought about it until this moment. But yes, I guess that could happen. what else do we have here? What is the one thing you want to be remembered for? This is a question to ask your significant other.
I like that one.
For an instantly deeper bond.
That one's got some weight to it.
What is the one thing you want to be remembered for?
My singing.
It's kind of, well, besides your singing, your comedy probably would stick out.
Yeah, that. Well, to,
entertaining people.
To me, it's always important to have made people laugh and to have made people have a better experience, you know, that, and we get to do that every morning with the morning show and just other things. And we always said this to Preston with the show, when our heads hit the pillows at night in our sleep number, we don't feel like we've, destroyed anybody's life or done anything that we regret.
I want to be remembered for inventing the taco salad.
You invented that.
No, but I'd like to be remembered for it.
Because it is good.
Because it's good. I haven't had one in ages.
Oh, yeah, really, salad.
They're so good.
Just had one.
All right, and then the last question to ask your significant other to form a deeper bond is...
Are we going to do it or what?
No. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
How are you?
Again. I'm good.
I told you it was stupid.
You know that if you're sitting at the table and Dennis comes in and goes... Sits down and goes, how are you? What are you going to start thinking?
Get the out of my face.
I mean, because you're natural. Why are you asking this? Am I putting off a vibe? Are you guilty about something? Shut up.
All right, so here's the rationale behind that. This is from a so-called expert. It says, one of the deepest questions you can ask your partner when done with sincerity and intensive listening ear is, how are you? When you ask, make eye contact and don't interrupt. It's as much about the listening as asking the question. In the ultra-fast-paced world we live in today, we can lose sight of what our significant other is encountering on a personal level, be it at work, with the kids, family, or friends. While a simple question on the surface, it can open up the conversation. Really listening is the answer to, is the key to getting deep.
How are you? Yeah. Well, I'm really dying for some gay sex. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Wait, do that again.
Yeah. How are you? Well, I'm really dying for some gay sex. I'm fine.
Right?
All right, so... This is a...
I think we made the world a better place.
A little bit of information about relationship from Women's Health Magazine. So this is intended to be directed at ladies.
It's intended to provide more work for divorce attorneys.
Right.
That's what it's intended to do.
It is?
Yeah, clearly.
Sponsored by Cordell and Cordell.
Yeah. I'm not lasting. Here are 10 questions that'll help me put my kids through school. I mean, the motive, the reasoning for wanting to communicate is very valid. I think
though, I agree.
There are inherent pitfalls in questions like this.
Yep. All right, I'd like to give away some stuff from Dunkin' Donuts. I have a $50 gift card, and I'll take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, Dunkin' Donuts is bringing out donut fries in Philly, and Dunkin' Donuts' newest snack serves up a sweet spin on classic fries, creating a fun, easy-to-eat way to... creating a fun, easy-to-eat way to enjoy the delight of donuts while on the go at any
time
of day.
I just experienced the most satisfying eat way.
Yeah. Easy to eat way. That's what it is.
So it says?
Easy to eat way.
An easy to eat way.
Just if you want the goddamn card, call now.
I know
call number 20. 215-263-WMMR. The fries are awesome. We had them. And you can get them for $2 tomorrow, by the way. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get Ron Funchess here in the studio, Punchline Philly, tonight and through the weekend. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think our next guest is going to be performing at Punchline Philly tonight and then through the weekend. And reading, you know, we did some digging on this gentleman. A lot of interesting stuff about
him. Yeah, it's great.
Successful actor, obviously. He's been on a lot of television shows and comedy, but I can't wait to dive into some of this stuff. Please welcome Ron Funches to
the show.
How you doing, Ron?
Great. Thanks for having me, Preston. Great, I love that you guys' names are on all your things.
On the microphone stands?
Yes, this is best.
Makes it easy for everybody.
Makes it easy for me.
Nice.
We can act as if we're longtime friends.
Yeah. Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you.
So we can go through these things one at a time, but I'm just going to throw out a couple things that I see about you, and then we can dive into whatever you want to or not. But sure. Ron was a professional wrestler at one time.
Oh, has currently.
Been on yeah. Been on cooking shows.
Yep.
Lost 140 pounds recently.
Mm-hmm.
You have a son, which you mentioned in your comedy act from time to time on the autistic spectrum.
Yeah.
And there's just, you like Manny Petties.
I love them.
You really break me down.
I'm sound awesome. Yeah. And like I've been through a lot of things.
Well, how about the wrestling thing?
Oh, the wrestling is just the thing I've loved my whole life. It's one of the things I like about coming here because I'm a big fan of the ECW and things in the past like that. And I had a friend who passed away suddenly at 30. And so it was just something I always wanted to do comedy. I've always wanted to be a wrestler. These are things that I just loved as a child. And I was like, oh, you're going to die at some point. So I
just go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, so, what did you top out weight wise?
360.
Okay.
Which would have been good for my wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so a friend passing kind of gave you a wake up call to pursue some of the things that you've always liked, but never really had the courage to go after.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool that you're going after it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I'm going to be old, and at one point I won't be able to do some things, and so I might as well give it a try. I don't expect to be a WWE Hall of Famer.
But it doesn't look promising at this point.
No. People don't usually start out at 35.
So. But you know what? We've said it many times here. You get those WWE stars coming in. And we've had a lot of them. I mean, because Philly's a big wrestling mm-hmm. city, huge. Mm-hmm. And, man, those guys and girls, they are so fan-friendly. They know how to market themselves. They know how to conduct an interview. They are really well-rounded entertainers. The meatheads that people assume they're going to be, no. They're all businessmen and women. They know what they're doing.
Oh, I take a lot of my business lessons and things from wrestlers. And the way that I pursue my comedy is a lot of lessons from wrestlers and rappers about because they have to do their own business.
Yeah.
Know? They're in charge of everything. And, you know, I might not know what it feels like to throw myself through a table, but I know what it feels like emotionally.
So, it's the same thing. It's if you know what it's emotionally.
And then you just get $25 at the end of the night, and you're like, oh, I better figure out YouTube or something.
Well, you started your comedy, you were 23, 24?
23, yes, sir.
And it was what, Portland?
Portland, Oregon's where I started. Started my comedy there. I moved to Los Angeles about 6 years ago.
Because you kind of have to, right?
You got to.
Yeah,
L.A.
Yeah.
or New York, depending on your vibe, what you're about. I'm more of a West Coast type of guy.
You feel so? Yeah, it's funny, though, because you're in a lot of stuff that I'm a big fan of, and, mm-hmm. and I've seen you. There was one show that I kind of really enjoyed what they were attempting to do, and you were in a number of shows I enjoyed, but the show Undateable with mm-hmm. Chris D'Elia,
mm-hmm.
I remember in its third season, it was live. It was a live sitcom, and you were doing it, I assume, twice
for both time zones, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we would do it twice. We'd tape it the first time, and then everyone would celebrate, and some people would start drinking a little bit, and then we'd tape it again. And it would be really fun, and that second show would get wild.
it was pretty wild to see that. And it's kind of being out there on the wire. Mm-hmm. I appreciate, you know, the fact that you would go for that. I mean, there used to be another show on Fox. It was called Rock, I think.
Yeah, I loved the Rock.
Yeah, and that was live as well.
Oh, yeah. Usually when shows go in live, you know they're on their way out.
Is that it? Because I thought, man, you had a good ensemble in that show. It's got to suck when some talented people. You've been on a number of shows with people.
Oh, yeah.
I assume you build up a camaraderie. There's a creative thing that's going on. It's got to suck when you put the work in and it goes asunder.
It does, but you just learn to love it while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I just, the friendships that I've made, I mean, I still talk to Chris all the time. I talk to Brent. I talk to most of the people that I've worked with. And it's just nice to have that experience and that money.
Yeah.
And we just keep it moving, you know, and write my own things. And that's why I still work in stand-up.
Because right.
You can't cancel me there.
Right. That's the thing you have the ultimate control over. That's exactly. Most people, you know. It's interesting how the industry goes, because even like in music now with bands, the performing has become the main thing. That's really where the bread and butter is. The same thing in comedy. You can control that.
Yeah.
You know,
you get direct access to fans and people who want to see you.
Right.
I don't have to audition for that.
Yeah.
Either you want to see me or you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. But I just love acting. It's fun to me. I learn a lot about myself from it. I'm doing my first movie. Not my first movie. I've been in a couple movies.
You're in Get Hard.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And I'm in the Trolls movie as a giraffe that poops cupcakes. But this is my first like lead. I'm like the third lead in this movie, and I'm saying a lot of lines, and it's weird and scary to me and fun, and that's what I like in life in general,
to challenge yourself a bit.
Yes, sir.
That's cool.
What movie is that, by the way?
It's like a working title right now.
Okay, because I'm looking at something called Cicada 3301.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, dude, I love that. All right, listen, I wanted to ask you about employability and whether you...
I love talking about employability.
with your weight loss,
mm-hmm.
right? So were you more employable, heavier, and did you have to fight against anything as you were losing weight, because people kind of knew you as this heavier guy?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I was more employable with the ceiling. When I was heavier.
Okay.
It was like... That was a character. That's the like the funny friend character.
Yeah,
and that's all they would see me as. No one wanted to see me for like a lead role, like mm-hmm. this movie.
And now
like
you're that. Dwayne Johnson.
So. Yeah, now, yeah. But there's also the thing of like proving to people that I'm still funny.
Yeah,
still this person. And even my live shows, a lot of times they'll use both pictures of me bigger and me smaller.
Really?
Like, some people don't know it's you if I just use a smaller picture. So it's just coming about and reintroducing myself.
Well, basically. you're still early enough in what you're doing that it's not like, you know, it, like some people have killed their careers with a massive shift or cosmetic surgery. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and it's like
a haircut.
Oh, yeah, a haircut. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's true. Yeah. Ally McBeal.
Kathy, I got you. Now I'm talking your language. So, but with the acting and stuff, you brought up something we talk about all the time, which is, you know, we extemporaneously will go on for about 4 to 5 hours a day, you know, and so, and we, that's our wheelhouse. That's what we do. But, mm-hmm. remembering lines is a mother effer.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it for you?
Oh, it depends on what it is, you know. If it's something that I'm familiar with, it can be a lot easier. I have a great memory, and so it's helpful in that way. But this last day, I had a 5-page scene, which is the biggest scene I've ever had in my life. It was 80% of the dialogue was mine, and I was playing an art professor. And I was like, I don't
So what do you, is it one like straight take? Is it almost like a monologue?
That's the thing about it, and that's what really I have to give a lot of props to the director, Alan, because he was an actor, or he is an actor himself, and he was very patient with me and very much reassuring of me, and he's just like, hey, we have a lot of takes of this.
All right.
Just pick a block that you're going to focus on.
All right.
Focus on that block, nail that block, and then when you have that, start focusing on other parts.
All right.
And then we'll just get it. And by the time we're in your cover,
coverage, you should have it all.
Okay.
I was just scrolling through IMDb, Ron, and there's I didn't know, I haven't seen this episode, but you did an episode of Drunk History about Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
That I love that show for the script and then the improv and then the silliness. So it really is a great combination. And then of course the alcohol. It's an awesome combination of all of them. What was that episode about?
It was about civil rights movement and sports. I've been in a couple. I was in a history of hip hop as well, and then also another one with Thomas Middleditch that I can't remember what it was about.
You were too loaded.
I just do the acting.
You do the acting?
I'm actually allergic to alcohol. I can't drink. So it would kill me. If I did a Drunk History, it would just be 2 minutes and then them calling the ambulance. It puts me in a shock. I can't breathe.
How did you find that out?
By drinking.
Yeah.
Well, you and I probably should. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't drink.
Yeah, never been drunk. Yeah. No, never been drunk. I got sick before I got drunk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Can you get high?
Oh, I'm a little bit right now.
He's not a Puritan.
Ron, I want to ask how you lost all that weight, 140 pounds.
Thank you for asking.
Certainly. Did you get a bypass surgery or something?
I knew you were going to go there.
That's a lot.
Yeah. If you have to get a surgery or whatever, definitely. I don't want to put anybody down who has to do that. Do whatever thing you have to get to where you're trying to go. But I am very proud to say that I did it with diet and exercise.
Okay. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. How long did that take that much weight off?
About 2.5 years.
Okay.
Two and a half years. I can't say I did it alone. I have a trainer.
Yep.
I have a lot of people who help me, and now I'm in my wrestling training as well, so that's helpful. But it just really was changing my diet around. Like, I used to, Philly cheesesteaks were I shouldn't even be at this town.
You know, you can do them, though. I really, in a town known for Philly cheesesteaks, I usually have chicken cheese steaks without the cheese, you know. So I know.
Oh, sounds horrible.
I know. But I love them. You know.
What you do is
grilled.
You have half of one. You're portion control, man. I lost 70 pounds. I didn't lose as much as you did, but if you just stop eating so much, it's going to help.
I just started cutting things. Started just picking a thing that I could cut out. And I was like, well, I love soda. I love candy. Which one can I give up? I gave up soda. Yeah. And then now I'm trying to give up candy. And then it's just like slowly pushing myself to where I want to go and just keep getting better and better.
That's it. People try to do everything at once, and it's just a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. You can't stick to that.
And you also have to have cheat things.
Oh, Saturday, I'm going to eat a full cheesesteak.
There you go. You've earned that friggin' thing.
Plan for it.
Yes, exactly. Right. Be more mindful.
So Casey likes getting mani-pedis.
Hell yeah.
Really?
Just pedis.
Just pedis. I did the mani thing, but pedis is where it's at.
You're not a mani guy? Why not?
I did, for a little while there.
For a while you were.
Yeah.
So you just focus on the feet now.
I like the feet.
Why do you do the mani-pedis?
Oh, I love it. It's just a good time to relax. It's my time for myself. I just think personally, as a single man, it's just a good thing to, just have my digits and everything groomed for any woman that I might be seeing.
Does it hurt, though? Because I had a full, we did a makeover show, Preston and I did it. God almighty, it hurt.
No, I don't. It didn't hurt me. I know a lot of guys are apprehensive. Actually, on my birthday a couple years ago, I took all of my friends to get mani-pedis, and it was just so funny to watch all these dudes apprehensive.
Just
didn't want to do it, and then 5 minutes later, they're just laid back like they're Liberace.
Do you have a person that you'd like to go to?
Yes,
one in particular.
Her name's Natasha.
Okay, mine's Yen. I love Yen. She's the best. And
Natasha and Yen.
Yeah.
Open up a place.
Well, so it's funny because my last pedi, I went somewhere else because my daughter wanted to go, and it was a Monday, and that's Yen's day off, so I went to a completely different place.
Mm-hmm. And Yen found out?
No, but she's going to when I go back, and she's going to go, I didn't paint these,
Casey talks about
Yen
her,
all the time.
Yeah, well, he'll just be like, I couldn't get a hold of Yen this week.
When you can't get your person, it's horrible.
Well, because this chick, whatever her name was, phoned it in.
Yeah.
Phoned it in.
I hate that. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got to show me some care and love, and so a lot of times they're like, oh, you need to moisturize more, and I'm like, this is why
I came to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Natasha knows that.
Do you get the foot rub? Do you get the, that's part of the
that's
deal, right?
Why? Yeah. Yes, you get a foot rub. You throw the paraffin wax in there if you can, please. I'm all proud. It buffed me up.
Yeah.
I don't really go with a coat. I mean, unless it's going to be a special event, maybe, but I usually just get a little buff and shine. I'm out the door.
I like that. Now, the word is also that you, in addition to all this stuff that you like, that we all like as well, that you're, are you an avid video gamer?
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Love them. I was playing some Overwatch on the way here. Or not on the way before I get left. I keep trying to love Fortnite, even though I don't love it. But yeah.
Do you know what it is about Fortnite? And tell me if you agree, if you're an avid video gamer. It's parts of different games I like more.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, yeah, this is cool, but there's another game that has this part that does it better.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. And a lot of games, I like stories. I like pieces of art, pieces of thing where they have a soul.
You like
it.
The campaign.
Yeah.
You like to play a movie is what I call it.
Yeah. And this just seems like a corporate, like, hey, this is what people like in games. We made it.
Right. What's your favorite game?
Oh, of all time?
Yeah.
Super Mario 3.
Super Mario 3, really? Yeah. So you're more old school.
A little bit. Yeah, it's just it's my favorite.
Are you a Nintendo guy?
Nintendo. I mean, I play everything. Yeah. PlayStation, Xbox, got the VR. We'll do anything.
Right. Super Mario 3, you could start, like, you would skate along the ice.
Riding in a boot.
Yeah.
Riding in a boot. As a girl I'm dating now, she came to my house. We played it on the little NES Classic. And we were playing a little bit. Because a lot of times people find I'm a nerd. And a lot of girls be like, oh, I'm a nerd too. And I'm like, okay. And then
yeah, right, yeah.
She's just playing, and then she went and got the whistle on the thing, and I was like, okay, okay.
You know where the whistle is?
It's funny when it skips a generation, too, because Super Mario, the first one, obviously a classic, and then two, people kind of forget about, but three, special place
amazing.
In your heart.
Yeah, I mean, now it's great. The Odyssey is amazing. Mario's still killing it.
Yeah, the stuff, like, I love, I mean, the game I just finished was the most recent God of War,
mm-hmm.
which is an amazing game. You're playing.
You could be an abusive father.
You are. You really do. I mean,
I kept throwing my axe at him.
The little bastard comes in handy when he's using his.
That middle, though, when he gets that attitude.
Oh yeah,
ugh, I was like,
little prick.
You're lucky.
No, it's like your mom's dead. You could be too if you don't shut
up. Exactly. Do you not see all these scars all over me? You don't think I won't backhand you?
Yeah, it's great stuff. Yeah, Preston, you'd love this game, the God of War stuff.
Yeah, I should probably play that. So, Ray, reading also that you've been, like I had said at the top, you've been on cooking shows, Chopped and Cupcake Wars. Are you doing the cooking? You like to cook or?
I'm learning.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to be more a part of my health and my diet. Right now, I get a lot of things delivered to me, but I don't think that's going to be financially viable forever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to learn to cook more and you know, I like to cook for whoever I'm dating and stuff. So it's just a thing to get better at. I'm going to be on this show called Nailed It.
Netflix.
I'll be on the
next
season of that.
Nailed it.
It's from Pinterest originally, right?
That's what I brought up. I thought we should do kind of a version of our own, and we all try to make something from a picture.
Yeah. Who's the host of that show?
Nicole Byer.
Yeah. Man, she's great.
She is great.
She's a really good host.
From SNL.
She's great at her job. Yeah. She's awesome.
No, not Vanessa Byer.
Yeah.
Nicole Byer.
Oh, I thought you said, I'm sorry.
No. Nicole Byer is a large African-American woman, and she is hilarious and a really good host of this show.
She's great. She's a great host. Yeah, just from taping it, I was like, wow, you're amazing.
They need to give, like, so the you're allowed to have an expert come in and help you, but only for 3 minutes. They need to give him 5 minutes.
I'll pitch it.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. Some of the stuff, some of the cupcakes and different treats that they try to do.
Just how people get so intense about it. But it was fun. I just got to sit back and relax. You know, like Cupcake Wars and Chopped, I was actually performing in it and cooking. This one, I just got the judge.
So okay.
That's actually, I think being the judge is actually the best part of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, but they're no matter what they are, I mean, you have to really suck to be a cooking show that's unwatchable.
I know. You know? I mean, my favorite shows, I love The Great British Bake Off. That's my favorite.
I love that show.
Popped open. I could tell you
do. Yeah.
It's actually, I've never seen it.
So there's an American version that's not as
good. Not
good.
It's horrible. I got a whole joke about it in my act. If you want to hear it, come see me tonight.
But they have all it's all baking, but they have it's basically like every other show, but they have their judges are very cultivated, cultured,
nice.
British.
And they're not yelling at you. It's like the opposite of Gordon Ramsay, but there's still the pressure because they want to do well.
Right.
And so the hosts are so honest, the judges are just so honest, where they're like, oh, you made a good try, but it's not good, it's horrible. And then they just start crying.
And you know when something's going south, where it's not coming together in the... You know, in the baking and like they're baking something that doesn't rise the way it should or whatever, and your heart goes out for them. But it's totally addictive.
So sweet, so charming. Okay. Best show on television.
What network is it on?
It's it's a BBC show.
Yeah,
BBC. But you can get it on Netflix and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I may have to check that out.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've spent time in Philadelphia before?
Once,
really?
One time.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see much of the city?
A little bit, not too much. I went down to whatever that terminal thing is called.
Reading Terminal Market.
Yeah, that's it. I got some whoopie pies. So I saw those sites. And I'm hoping I'm here for a few more days, so this hopefully I'll be able to see some more things.
Yeah, weather's
good.
Be
weather,
nice.
You'll have a good time. Yeah.
To walk around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know how beautiful it was.
It's a great city, and it was just sort of, you know, we've been doing this show here for 20 years. And, you know, Philly somehow has now ended up on the map for entertainment. And then a lot of movies being made here.
Yeah.
And, you know, celebrities.
Well, Kevin Hart's such a great ambassador.
For the city.
He's always representing the city.
He's been great. So, but it's cool. Yeah, you'll love it.
Enjoy while you're here, man. I just want to give you a heads up that Ron is going to be performing at Punchline tonight at 8. And then Friday and Saturday, you got two shows each night.
Yeah.
7:30 and 10. And you can get those tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Great to see you here, Ron.
It was a pleasure.
Enjoy your time. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Funchy.
Yay!
We got a break to take. We're going to do that very thing. We'll be back in just a moment.
This summer. Surprise! MMRMY is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Dunkin' Donuts, they came by here this morning and they brought their donut fries by along with some other great stuff too. And they're bringing donut fries to Philadelphia. They feature individual pieces of delicious butterly croissant style donut dough.
They're really good.
That are tossed in cinnamon sugar and served warm with just the right amount of crisp. And I have one last $50 gift card to give away. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget that they are serving them at a special price of $2 tomorrow.
And they're presenting them in little classic French fry cartons.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty cool.
Kind of awesome.
Yes. So let's set you up with that $50 gift card right now. Give us a call. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, the Bizarre File this morning, which I got some stories I didn't get to last time, brought to you by Delilah's. The most beautiful and talented performers will compete for the coveted Diamond G String Award at Delilah's, and that is Wednesday, July 18th, hosted by Chanel West Coast.
Chanel West Coast!
Yeah, visit Delilah's.com for details. Here is a follow-up story. That FBI agent who accidentally shot a man while doing a bat flip at a nightclub last month...
Yes.
...is permitted to carry his service weapon again.
Wow. Don't do that again.
A judge amended a judge amended a protection order to allow Chase Bishop to carry the weapon both on and off duty so long as it is done in a manner pursuant to FBI policy.
The one thing is he can't have any bullets in it. He's like Barney Fife, Preston. Bishop, he has to ask for his bullets.
Bishop was charged with second degree assault last month after he accidentally shot a man at a Denver nightclub. The video of the incident shows the agent dancing and performing a backflip during which he drops his gun, and when he picked up the weapon, it discharged and struck a man. He was off duty at the time of the incident. We're watching the video right now.
And you see as he starts to pick it up, the flash at the muzzle, and you just know.
Oh, no.
Across the room somewhere, somebody went, ah!
Well, that guy that went,
Yeah.
The nightclub, Mile High Spirits, has offered that man free drinks forever. So he can come in and get...
I might take a grazable bullet. Yeah.
Free drinks forever.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And anyhow, the victim was reported to have a good prognosis at the time of the shooting. So that guy can carry again.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, here's the Bucks Co, man.
Oh.
Which one? Does he have like a whole family in his basement?
No, but it's nothing severe, but he could face some serious jail time. He allegedly poached more than 3,500 protective turtles from New Jersey coastal marshes and sold them as pets.
How do you poach those things?
David Summers of Levittown.
Yes.
Allegedly caught diamondback terrapins and their eggs in the coastal marshes of New Jersey and sold them as pets across state lines into Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
The turtles are prized in the reptile pet trade for their unique diamond-shaped shell markings. They're protected under New Jersey law and by an international treaty. Summers allegedly caught and sold the turtles in 2017 and shipped them illegally to Canada. Also in 2014, in a box that said a book was inside. The turtles weren't found in the wild in Pennsylvania, and they aren't found in the wild in Pennsylvania. Have a dwindling habitat in New Jersey. The release says they were listed as threatened in 2013. Summers is charged with 5 violations of the Federal Lacey Act. Anytime there's an act that you violate, it's not good.
Not good.
For allegedly poaching the turtles, and each charge carries a maximum of 5 years in prison. So, serious trouble.
I like turtles.
Thank you. This is sad news. An Israeli man on his honeymoon was killed and his wife seriously injured in a freak accident involving a zip line in Honduras.
I saw this.
A guy named Igal Tishman and Shif Fenken collided with each other over a treetop canopy near Rotan.
Did you get a good explanation of how they ended up colliding? Because I still don't know.
Well, I'm guessing maybe he became stuck.
Right.
All right. So the newlywed couple reportedly on a cruise that stopped in the popular tourist destination. Officials said that Fenken became stuck on the zip line cable and her husband crashed into her. So they may have, most zip lines, the ones that I've been on now, the ones I have been on, haven't been those where you can just that go and go and go and go and go forever. But the ones that I've been on, you wait till the other person has done their zip line and then you go after they're done. If this is a really, really long one, Steve, they might start sending them down before they make it all the way.
No, they absolutely do. Yeah.
So the girl stayed halfway on the cable and the guy came from behind and hit her. A local firefighter said he was rushed to a hospital she was rushed to a hospital in serious condition, later airlifted to another facility, and he didn't make it. So that's terrible. And they were on their honeymoon. That's horrible. Police say a drunk man driving a construction crane left a 9-mile trail of destruction on the Long Island Expressway, hitting 4 cars and totally obliterating one of them before a cop actually jumped into the cab and got him to stop. Brian Sinclair was arrested by exit 63 on the Long Island Expressway.
I know it well.
After a highway patrol officer spotted him driving erratically and gave chase. Cops had the vehicle surrounded and say Sinclair still didn't stop. When he finally slowed down, he's driving a crane.
Yes, yeah.
He finally slowed down. An officer had to leap into the passenger compartment and demand that he stop. Officers say Sinclair was driving a 2000 Liebherr Tuesday evening when he hit a Nissan Altima, then smacked into a Jeep Cherokee. He then barreled into a Honda Civic and hit a Toyota RAV4, and then he drove off. It was a short time later when the officer spotted the crane and got it to stop. And then 3 drivers in the cars that were hit along with the officer
who got the crane to stop, suffered minor injuries and were taken to an area hospital.
It's amazing they're minor injuries. You look at some of this damage. These cars are decimated.
Yep. He's charged with driving while intoxicated and leaving the scene of an accident. The crane was impounded. There's a video, and it's of a squirrel, and the squirrel is eating, but what he's eating is out of an unwrapped condom that apparently it found.
Yes. Well, nuts.
Emily Cole, a nanny in Portland, Maine, took
and Twiggy, the water skiing squirrel,
took the video of the squirrel while visiting with kids on Monday. She posted it on Facebook and said it has started to go viral. The squirrel seems to be nibbling on something inside the rubber, but it doesn't seem to be nuts, berries, twigs, or leaves. One of the kids can be heard on the video saying, "It looks like a balloon. Oh, is there stuff inside of it?"
You bet.
Cole could have used this experience for a teachable moment, but ultimately and understandably, she decided to postpone that conversation for another time. Bust a nut! Bust a nut! She said, "I really hope one day when they're older and wiser, the parents will tell them what it actually was and what they were witnessing here." She showed the video to the kid's father later that day. She said he chuckled about it, but we didn't say anything in front of the kids. We just let them assume that it was indeed a balloon. So there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. Isn't that nasty?
Yeah, very nasty.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll see how closely you've been paying attention to today's program. We will have a lesson question available for you to try and answer. And we'll also get into the trash and some music news as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Calling out to the follically challenged or friends of or lovers, relationships, whoever. People, if you have someone in your life who is really holding on to that that little patch of hair that they have going around from ear to ear, but nothing on top, and they're really hanging fast, and you want to see them just get rid of it, we are doing a comb-over intervention of sorts. And we are going to have our friends from Shaving Grace here in our studio, and we're going to shave it all off and do it the proper way with professionals, give them a whole new look, and maybe a whole new life. You never know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shave it down at least, right?
I had a friend who finally realized it was time to shave his head, go bald, because his hairdresser, his hairstylist, said to him, "I feel so bad, I can't charge you anymore."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh my God." And that
was it.
There's
nothing to cut.
Seriously. Yeah. He's like, "I'm cutting like three hairs."
If you just want to spend time with me, we can go to lunch.
Let's go for a drink.
Yeah.
We're gonna be doing this on the 25th here in our studio. Email Nick; he's handling all of it. But you need to be nominating someone who needs this intervention done in their life. So send their information to Nick so he can contact them and see if they're cool with it. Nick@WMMR.com. By the way, today's lesson question is going to get you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card if you can answer it correctly. And one of my favorite moments of the morning is what I'm going to choose. Where was Saoirse Ronan farting?
Yes.
In the what? 215-263-WMMR. You had to have been listening. Where was Saoirse Ronan a farting? 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we are going to do the trash. Good luck to you.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, even though her own lips are surgically enhanced, Kylie Jenner is poised to become a billionaire in just a few months thanks to sales of her Kylie lip kits. The news was welcomed by Caitlyn Jenner, who is about to release a line of ointments designed to grow vaginas. After Justin Bieber proposed to Hailey Baldwin this past weekend, Baldwin returned the favor by presenting him with a diamond engagement ring sporting the letters JB. Less than brilliant Bieber was somewhat confused by the ring, exclaiming, "That's not how you spell engagement."
Oh, my God.
And finally, he changed the hand tattoo he got for then-wife Amber Heard from Slim to Scum after their 2016 divorce. Now Johnny Depp has altered it yet again to read Scam. Amazingly, Depp is still not happy with the tattoo and is thinking of changing it to just to clarify, I hate my ex-wife's effing guts. Mm. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we shall see if you've been paying attention. Where was Saoirse Ronan farting? 215-263-WMMR. And it is Brian that I'm going to go to. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Brian, so where was Saoirse Ronan a farting?
Farting in the Glen.
The Glen. You got it, buddy. Hang on just a second. For that, we are going to give you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. And Rita's gelati just got even better. The five-layer gelati. Try one of Rita's signature favorites or create your own. Endless possibilities available only in July. So create yours at your Rita's. You just noticed it's from Fletch?
It's Fletch, yeah. Nice. I, for a second, thought it was Beverly Hills Cop, mistakenly.
No, that's XLF.
Same guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it? Oh, okay.
Baltimore, right?
Harold Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, he did both of those, yeah. All right, let's do music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Yep.
I love that. All right. This morning is brought to you by Delilah's. Most beautiful and talented performers are going to compete for the coveted Diamond G-String Award at Delilah's. That's Wednesday, July 18th, hosted by Chanel West Coast. And you can visit Delilahs.com for details.
I'm only familiar with Chanel East Coast.
Yeah, I don't know Chanel West Coast, but apparently.
I assume she's 3 hours behind.
Maybe. All right, so let's get into this. Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson have released their joint cover version of the Beatles' classic Helter Skelter. I was listening to this last night. I think we have a clip of it I'll play here in a moment. Yep. The arrival of the song coincides with the kickoff of the two rockers co-headlining North American tour, which kicked off on Wednesday night. Zombie told Rolling Stone about the track, well, we had been talking about doing something together for these shows, that he should come on stage during my set and we'd do a song, but we couldn't think of what song. And after we talked later that night, I was at home and I just thought the obvious song is Helter Skelter. It's so obvious that neither one of us thought of it. And then I figured, well, rather than us just, you know, doing it on stage, why don't we take one step further and record it and put a new spin on it?
Yeah.
But he said...
It's new, but it's still faithful.
Wait, here's the thing. Yeah, talking about the approach here we're taking, he said, my thought when it comes to covers is to stick close to the original. Because in my mind, what's the actual point of doing a cover if nobody can recognize it? So with our version, I think it varies as much as it can from the original, but not so much that it comes off as a different song. So here's a little clip of it. And it starts off with Marilyn. I know. And Rob. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not
I have no
bad.
Problem with it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the song's about?
The original Helter Skelter? I do not.
It's about a slide.
Oh, okay.
It's at an amusement park, and the name of the slide was called Helter Skelter.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Really? Yeah, so it was this big, it was a spiral-shaped slide, like, you know, the giant slides you can go to at carnivals and so forth?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of one that goes up and down like that one, it was a spiral one that goes around, and...
Well, then Charles Manson got it right.
Right? They just thought it'd be kind of fun to take something like that and turn it into a song.
And I forget, what is the connection to Manson?
Manson thought that the song was a call to action, that the that African Americans would rise up and overthrow the Caucasians.
It was part of a
secret call to action
that the Beatles were sending out.
Yes.
Okay. And then that led him to this sort of cult thing.
Yeah. He totally misread Gravitron too.
Oh yeah.
Well, say crazy man, it's got the Jews this time.
You do get dizzy.
Gravitron. We have a picture of it here in the studio. There it is.
Yeah.
It is a supergiant Helter Skelter. So that's what it's about. Zombie said that although his band was used during the recording sessions for Helter Skelter, he and Manson did their parts separately. He explained, I was on the East Coast and he was in like Spain or something on tour. We were communicating.
Spain is the East Coast.
The whole time.
And it wasn't possible to get in the studio together. So that's the way they did it. And they're kicking off the next play Friday in Wisconsin. Muse has announced a special one-night-only movie theater event on Thursday, today actually, during which the British trio's concert film Drones World Tour is going to be screened in cinemas around the world. The film captures the British trio performing in multiple cities in 2016, playing a career-spanning set that includes Psycho, Madness, Uprising, Supermassive, Black Hole, and more. Matt Bellamy said about the movie, "The Drones show reflects the mood and story of the album we played for the first time in the round and wanted a show that was stark and spectacular, featuring cutting-edge autonomous drone technology." So you'll be able to see it in film form.
Is it in 3D with Dolby Atmos?
That I don't know, but supposedly it's pretty cool. This is good to hear. Puddle of Mud frontman Wes Scantlin said in a new interview that he has been sober for 11 months after years of legal troubles, canceled or disrupted shows, and arrests for disorderly or drunken behavior.
Wow.
Scantlin explained getting out of incarceration and then going to CRI Help in Burbank, California, North Hollywood. That was awesome. It was really great. He said, "I am 11 months sober now, almost to the day, and I feel great. We are just playing shows and rocking." That dude was on the path to destruction.
I had kind of written him off.
Yes.
I just thought, okay, this is not coming back.
Listen, and they came by. We've met him a few times right at the very beginning of their career. And then a few years ago, came by here in the studio and performed. He was a nice guy. I was a little nervous about having him.
Sure, yeah.
To be honest, because I didn't know what we were going to get, you know? Yeah.
He was funny. He made us laugh.
He was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. So he's just he's got a real problem with
the hooch.
Yeah, Scantlin credited his family and friends for giving him the strength to get his life together, saying that he ended up returning to rehab because, quote, there's really nowhere else to go.
Well, that would be great if he could, you know, bring it on back. It's got to be tough, though, when you are fighting for sobriety and you're in clubs and in environments where, you know, you were used to getting bombed.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a good frontman. He's a good singer.
Yeah.
He said, "I've got a really great family, and they've been behind me and supportive the whole time. The fans are all supportive. It's good to stop doing something that's killing you." During the past few years, he had abandoned multiple shows. Mid-set, he got into a standoff with 30 police officers at one point, was arrested for skipping a court date, was arrested for attempting to board a plane with a BB gun, was arrested for trying to vandalize his own foreclosed house. He faced other legal and financial issues prior to that. But he's also confirmed that there are plans for Puddle of Mud to finally record a follow-up to the 2009 album song, Volume 4, Songs in the Key of Love and Hate. Also, a cover set came out in 2011, but the singer-guitarist says he plans to work with a really killer producer and that the new record will be coming out really soon. So I hope that is certainly the case. And then one last thing. Tomorrow, there's a special deal that is going on with Ticketmaster. I think this is pretty cool. It's $20 tickets, Friday the 13th deal. So for 13 hours tomorrow, the offer starts at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. You can get tickets to these shows for $20. Rock Allegiance, Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie, who we were just talking about, Godsmack and Shinedown, and Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin. There's no password required, but additional fees do apply. But the base fee is going to be $20 for each ticket. And that's the Friday the 13th, 13 hours. $20 tickets.
You can't beat that.
No.
Cha-cha-cha.
All right. And that's what I have in music news for you. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the word of the week prize. Oh, you know what I haven't given
out?
Equalizer 2.
Oh,
we
Monday
have a
night.
Screening on Monday. So let's take five callers and we'll set you up at the UA Riverview. The show is at 7:30. You'll need to be there no later than 7. So 215-263-WMMR. Let's set you up. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
WMMR is Everyday Rogers. Just having a little off-air discussion about Creed and playing that song. And, you know, it's funny because Creed went through this this phase where it pretty much a joke.
Yeah.
The band considered to be. But I'll go back and I'll hear a song like that, and I'm like, you know what?
I think enough time has passed. I kind of like this song.
Sure. I mean, there are a lot of songs that fall into that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Limp Bizkit, there's one or two that I dig. Well, and, you know, they were Yeah.
Somebody texted in and I'm trying to find it, but they were like, "You guys playing iPuss? Because I'm going to roll out my windows, but then I'm totally going to sing along to this song."
There you go. You just came up with a great contest, though. iPuss.
iPuss is very different.
That would be a great contest.
I think I played that contest with you guys.
Let's see. What do we do with that one?
iPuss. Hmm. What would you, if the rule would be, if you were to pull up next to an attractive person in another car, would you piss out the window?
Yeah, would you pee next to him? Would you piss out the window?
What do I get for it?
Maybe we could do that.
Depends. Arrested?
Yeah.
Might happen. We are about ready to wrap up our program, but not before we thank a few people. I want to thank comedian Ron Funches, who came by. Ron, not only a comedian, an actor, very nice guy, loves being in Philadelphia, and he is at Punchline tonight and tomorrow on Saturday. Go to punchlinephilly.com to get the details and the tickets. And thank you to Jackie Keown, who came by. She's the field marketing manager for Dunkin' Donuts, and she brought by those donut fries, which they are now available here in Philadelphia, but tomorrow is a special day. It's like National Fry Day. So you can get the donut fries, which are, they're made of their croissant donut dough.
Which is really good.
And they have cinnamon sugar on them.
Which is really good.
And they're served warm.
Which is the way to have them.
Yes, exactly. And you can get those tomorrow for $2 at Dunkin' Donuts. And they're the official coffee of the President's Steve Show. So we thank them for coming by this morning and setting us up with that stuff. So been a lot of fun today. It's Pierre Robert, and he's getting geared up for today's program.
Good day.
How are you, man?
Fine, thank you.
Wonderful. Did you just get out of the shower?
I did.
It's always nice to start.
I hate to bother you, but I just got out of the shower.
Oh, that's right.
Or something like that.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah,
whatever
I just
that
out of shower.
Saying was.
Well, cool. I'm happy you're all clean.
Gadzooks.
So nice to have you.
Yeah. We were talking about you this morning because we had a stupid question about the guy who invented the UPC symbol, and you guys had taken
a boat over.
Yeah. He showed me his house last week when we were out in Tahoe. We did a nice little tour, which is awesome, and you're a great tour guide, and you showed me the house of the person who invented the UPC symbol. I didn't know what that meant, the barcode.
It was just one of these incredible homes right along the north shore of Lake Tahoe, and there are a lot. There were some amazing places, but there's some serious money attached to that guy's house. Yeah. It was impressive.
Apparently, he died, but his widow is enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yes.
There it is. $70 million property somewhere in that range.
That's what Rob told me. Now, that one wasn't. He got that confused.
Oh.
But he was in a lower. He was kind of in a more poverty. The barcode guy is like $25 million.
Oh, all right. Slumming it.
Get that riffraff out of here.
Yeah, Steve. Riffraff.
You know who else is along there? Has a property along there? Is Larry Ellison of Oracle?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that
the
one,
Oracle. There's some money there.
Oracle money. Yeah. So it's just if you ever want to take a tour around Tahoe and feel good about yourself,
the Billy Bob teeth guy.
Michael Milken, also the junk bond.
Are you kidding? No. In that area as well?
Yeah,
who is he?
Michael Milken was a guy who did the junk bonds back in the
Notorious.
He went to prison, came back, made another fortune, and has so much money now that he has his own 4th of July fireworks on the 3rd of July and his own barge on his own beachfront house.
Wow. Where? So I had asked Nick earlier, where is the Godfather 2 house in relationship to where you are on
That's
the lake?
That's on the west shore in an area called Homewood. In Lake Tahoe, there were all these old estates, kind of like, here there were the old Firestone estates.
Right.
And various giant rich people buying huge chunks of land and building these amazing places. Some of them survived. Some of them got turned into state parks and preserved. And some of them were developed and turned into condos. And the Kaiser estate, there was a Kaiser Steel in California. I don't know if it was present out here or not. A huge steel magnate guy. And he built a gigantic estate on the lake on the west shore, and all rock everywhere. And that's where Godfather 2, much of it was filmed.
Is it still intact, the house, or has it been?
Only a piece of it.
Only,
unfortunately. But the boathouse where Fredo gets sent out to sleep with the fishes, that's still there.
Oh, that's cool. So, what about the windowed den, I guess, for lack of another term, so where Michael actually looks out at the execution.
Yeah, that building is still there.
All right. Well, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's the money shot.
And I, yes,
Cool, yeah, man. I'll take you there someday.
Very cool.
Well, let's do the letter of the day if you're ready.
I am.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
N as in notorious.
All right. And we have one more to go. We'll do that tomorrow as we are actually live from Subaru for a live broadcast tomorrow. But we're giving away a 2-hour axe throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe throwing venue. That's Chopper's Hatchet House in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So visit choppershh.com. We'll give it away tomorrow. So what's going on in the program today, sir?
We'll have workforce blocks of Sublime, of Bruce Springsteen, of Dorothy. We will have an archive selection. Yesterday I mentioned we would have Little Feat, and I had spaced out the fact that the Doobie Brothers were in Camden last night. So we meant to do Little Feat today, and we did do the Doobie Brothers yesterday. So we'll have our archive selection being Little Feat coming later.
Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan.
Thought you had more.
Yeah. That's an L.A. rock.
I'd like to tell you how I tied my shoes this morning.
On your little feet.
Intricate process.
I have a conference call in 5 minutes that I have to get on for a very important advertiser. So okay. I got to move things along. I'm sorry, man.
Let's talk about that.
All right. Let me thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today.
I can help.
By Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And winner of Port Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow on a program, like I said, live from Subaru. And we're going to have our buddy Ari Spears stop by that live broadcast.
That should be fun.
Going to play a couple games with the wonderful employees of Subaru, and we're going to hear all about them because they've certainly earned it.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, the live broadcast from the Camp Out for Hunger, and it's in their new home in Camden, New Jersey.
Yes, so I got to get the street address.
It's all new to us. So that's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
That sucks, being single. If anybody out there, if you guys can recommend a great place where I can meet a nice guy that is not an asshole and is looking to, you know, meet up with a great girl who has her life together, please let me know.
Next message.
Christmas for my wife, Nora. Thank you so much for being a super wife and mom all the time, but especially now while I'm away for work. You're a badass woman and an amazing mother. Thanks for keeping it in between the ditches, babe. I love you.
Next message.
I hate not having a f***ing car horn. I'm here in traffic with this f***ing head. Florida man, Florida man, go home.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.